Hello, the JoeRogan.net experience. What is it? Whatever the fuck I call it. You know what you're listening to. The Joe Rogan experience is sponsored by the Fleshlight, the number one adult toy for men. I use it myself. I recommend it. Erase that. Don't let people know I use it. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Listen, go to JoeRogan.net, enter in the code name Rogan when you click the Fleshlight link, and you save 15% off. Holla at your boy. Now, buckle up, bitches. Here we go.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Yeah, my girl's back. She got rid of that scary fake black guy. We had a guy that was doing the Joe Rogan Experience, that voice, but it was a white guy that sounded like a black guy. You could tell it wasn't really a black guy.
Oh, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It was a white robot that's sounding black, too.
Freddie Lockhart has joined us, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. My man, Freddie. Freddie and I go back to when Freddie was fucking cover booth man at the goddamn Comedy Store.
20 years old and dreadlocked.
Back in the days, Freddie was trying to make it happen out here in L.A., a fresh-faced young boy, and we became friends, and we've been friends ever since. That was fun times, man.
That it was. Now look at me now. I'm an old man.
Freddie is one of those, you know that he's got some black in him, but how much?
How much?
What's going on here?
Are you asking what me exactly? To strip Joe Rogan now?
What are you yet?
Dad's black, mom's white. Standard issue, pretty much.
Powerful combination genetic-wise, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll go one of the strongest that. Combinations of all time.
I would say so.
Yeah, you get the body of the black man, and then you get the mind of the white man all together in some strange combination.
It's why the University of Arizona won the 1996 national championship. The whole starting lineup was mixed.
That doesn't, by the way, mean that black people don't have brains. It's a different brain. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is clearly black people have the superior bodies.
Right.
You got to be crazy to argue with that. Greatest athletes of all time, with, you know, to a man, except for a few fucking Larry Birds in there, a few weird white guys that managed to figure shit out.
Right.
Other than that, I mean, let's get real. You know, they're the super athletes.
We're trekking down Jimmy the Greek territory right now. He was absolutely right.
He was dead right.
And he was
just a douchebag.
Yeah, he was just a douchebag. And it was just like, you know what? Everything he said, you couldn't disagree with.
Here's my problem with it. It's not a bad thing. You're talking about a positive attribute. Why is it racist to say that black people are the superior athletes?
Right.
I mean, if you just looked at the number of Michael Jordans and LeBron Jameses and those guys, those superior, super dominant athletes. Very rarely have blacks, white guys.
Blacks make up, 15% of the population, American population, less than that, and they make up 90% of the NBA.
Yeah, what
and
the fuck, 500
men in the NBA, come on. And the white guys are European.
Yeah.
You know, it's like... It's
Russians. The Europeans, see, that's another thing. Europeans, like, from Russia, like, Russians are a different fucking breed than white people here.
Oh, yeah.
There's some hard motherfuckers and some serious athletes, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you ever see Karelin? The wrestler, that 7 foot tall, 300-plus pounds guy that would hurl grown men through the air, only lost once, okay?
Yeah.
And the reason why he fought Rulon Gardner, and it was a new rule in Greco-Roman where if you lost your grip and then had to reattach it, even if there was no dominance, that guy got a point. Just because he made you break your grip.
Oh, wow.
It's the stupidest rule ever. And it was one that didn't exist through Karelin's entire reign. When you want to talk about a fucking super athlete. They used to call him the experiment because his parents were like 5'5 and 5'7. And he's fucking 7 feet tall and enormous. I mean, he doesn't even look like a real man. He looks like some shit from 300.
Right.
He looks like some shit that the Persians would have with a dog collar on. You know, naked with a fucking a giant iron codpiece.
Yeah.
You know, running at you.
Pure Russian blood.
Yeah.
On vodka and training in the snow.
Giant savage. Just eating reindeers and shit.
But that's the anomaly. Every once in a while there is a white guy. There's more pure Europeans like that.
Yeah.
But pound for pound in America, the black race is superior in sports. But here's the misconception is that you're saying that they're limited to that. And that's not the case at all.
Well, physically, it's also you got to deal with, it's an economic issue. People from, especially when you deal with people that are into like combat sports, like the combat one, especially like boxing, that's a serious economic one.
Oh, yeah.
Very few rich people become professional boxers.
Right.
It's always like, it used to be the Jews in New York. That was like, Slappy Maxie Rosenbloom and all back in those days. Like Jews were, a lot of boxers were Jews.
Yeah.
And then it became Italians and Puerto Ricans and Irish. And it was really mostly immigrants that were poor. And then eventually, blacks and black athletes. But if you look at like greatest athletes of all time, there's only a few like Rocky Marcianos in the mix. A few guys that were like super dominant that were white guys.
Wayne Gretzky.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But given a sport that was, you know, dominated by whites, you know, a Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah. Yeah, and like look at their attributes. Gretzky was like very clever and an excellent skater, and just but like Rocky Marciano was known for being just ridiculously durable.
Yeah.
And just always in incredible shape, and would get a hold of you and eventually wear you down and blast you. So it wasn't like a Muhammad Ali where you couldn't even fuck with him. Like right. You were in front of him going, what am I doing even in the ring with Roy Jones Jr.?
Right.
You remember when Vinny Pazienza fought Roy Jones?
Yeah,
there was a round where he didn't land a punch.
Yeah.
It was the only time ever in CompuBox history where they had scored an entire round 100% lopsided. The other guy didn't land a single punch.
That's
it. Roy Jones just lit him up.
Yeah.
He was dancing in front of him like a cobra.
Yeah, he fought from down here. Yeah,
he fought from back here, and that jab would come up. He would just slap you in the face, and you're trying to move your big fat head. You can't get out of the way of it.
Yeah, I use that guy in Fight Night.
Super athlete.
Over Ali, I use him in Fight Night. He's the man.
Dude, he had some ridiculous attributes, but he had one fuck up. He developed his technique based and dependent upon his physical attributes. Instead of going with traditional technique like Bernard Hopkins, right. Evander Holyfield, guys who do everything textbook, like James Toney does everything textbook. Instead of doing that, he went with this big, wide open, loose style that almost completely relied upon his physical attributes.
All right.
So when he started to slow down, he started getting fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, when he fought Tarver, he got fucked up, you know, and that was coming back from the weight loss because he fought heavyweight.
Right.
And when, you know, he got pumped up and then he came from whatever, legal or illegal, I don't know what the fuck he was doing, but he got big.
Yeah, he got
like big, over 200 pounds.
Yeah.
And really muscular.
Right.
And then he drops back down to 170 and you're looking at him and you're like, 175, and you're like, okay, something's hormonally wrong here. His body looks soft.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at this. I'm like, this is a guy who didn't do this correctly. I bet he jacked his system. When you get on juice, you jack your fucking system. And then if you get off it, if you're not doing it correctly, you get off of it, your body doesn't bounce back. You're like not producing testosterone. You know, your body's shut down because you've made it have all this extra shit in your system, and your balls are like, what are we doing? Let's stop working. So you have to like bring your balls back to life if you do something like that.
Right.
Like what you're doing, it's like really radical chemistry.
Yeah.
And he clearly wasn't doing that right. He came back and he looked like really soft and he got tagged and blasted.
Yeah,
and it was
really
one of those things. When you get blasted once, man, it's so much easier to get blasted again, because then Glenn Johnson blasted him,
yeah.
And then it looked really bad.
It broke your cool, and that's the thing too. If you,
it's not just that he goes out unconscious.
Yeah,
like that. When the Glenn Johnson fight, he didn't even look like that big of a punch, and he went completely unconscious.
Wow.
One leg up in the air. I mean, he was gone, which means he's got brain damage.
Yeah,
I mean that's really what it is.
Yeah,
you know, and it was all because of his two things, because of his body coming back from being big against Diaz. Ruiz.
Yeah.
Big against Ruiz, rather. John Ruiz. And then it was also those two knockouts, man. If you have knockouts, man, you know, people, you know, they want to poo-poo it like it's no big fucking deal. You got to bounce back from that thing really slowly and really correctly. You got to know where your fucking brain's at, because you might have loose screws in there, man.
Oh, yeah, you could be done with it. Yeah. I mean, you could seriously have serious brain damage.
There's guys that they get knocked out once, and then every time they get hit afterwards, they just go.
Just
whereas
fall.
Before, you used to have iron chins.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Growing up watching Mike Tyson all the time and watching that method of coming out real close to the body, how he would, and just like a bear.
Yeah.
It was like the swiftness of like when you see a bear hit somebody and their shoulders pop and all that. But as he got older, it was kind of like a genre-specific kind of technique of boxing that is a little less traditional. It seemed to, you know, like you said, once somebody gets knocked out, once Buster Douglas, who shouldn't have got the best of him but did, once that's opened up, that mess with your psyche. And to top it off, if you're retarded like him already.
Do you know how tough he was, man?
The baddest
Think about the,
motherfucker.
The fucking bombs he took from Holyfield in that first fight before he went out. God damn, he got hit with everything, dude. Holyfield was teeing off on him, and he was just taking him, and his legs would buckle.
Yeah.
And when he finally went down, then he's like searching for his mouthpiece. You're like, holy shit.
Yeah, dude, that's a dude who could take a beating. They say all he took beatings, but this dude took beatings.
The Buster Douglas one, dude, that combination that he blasted Tyson with, and Tyson still trying to put his mouthpiece back in.
Yeah.
That motherfucker was game to the end.
Dude.
Blasted out, and he's just scratching around looking for his mouthpiece to get back in his mouth,
because
he's gonna fuck you up.
Yeah,
he's gonna get up and he's gonna fuck you up.
Yeah, yeah. They said that he got knocked out, I think, one time in a sparring match when he was a kid, like 15, 16, something like that. And, like, he's one of those boxers that goes somewhere and cries, you know, and then comes back and murders you.
Yeah.
And he did that. Apparently, he did that to, who was it? One of his old guys, Atlas, or somebody, like, he was training with some, and the dude got the best of him in a spar, and Tyson went somewhere, cried, shivered, held his knees, and then came out and just dropped bombs and never looked back.
You know so what I mean? Terrifying. A guy who needs it that much, a guy who needs it so much, is everything about him, his entire self-worth, entire self-esteem is just all based on him fucking smashing you, just running at you and destroying you as a human, body to body, just imposing his fucking physical will on you.
And he still has that thing about him that I see him on Sunset every once in a while, and just like, even if he catches eyes with you, you're just, you know, it's like, hey Mike.
Yeah.
It's like, that guy is just,
it's a killer, bro.
He's a train killer. He's got the show now. He's got a pigeon, homing pigeons. That's what he does, right? He, like they do in Brooklyn and Puerto Rico.
They
home pigeons, I guess. The whole idea is you compete against Mike to
really
to home
for pigeons.
Yeah, I would let him win.
I would always let him win. He snaps your pigeons' necks, you know.
Fuck you, dude. I'll let you win, man.
I'd let him win everything. But I've said it. Except tweeted it. I'll take him in Mike Tyson's punch out. I'll knock him out first round.
You mean just punch out now?
Just punch out now.
I think he has a new game. I thought he spammed me, but apparently it wasn't spam. I got a tweet from his account, and I was like, oh my God, Mike Tyson just fucking spammed me. And I wrote that on Twitter, and then he said, it's not spam, Joe. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, okay. the real so Mike?
I think. Oh, I don't know. I mean, it might be some people that work for
verified?
Him.
Have we said anything bad?
No idea. I mean, I would never say anything bad. I'm a huge fan. Sir.
Me too.
Please don't.
Iron Mike, Messiah.
Don't eat my ears.
Yeah. We love you, Mikey.
You want to go back to like ferocious boxers, though. There was the time when he was a champion. There was no time like that where you were just waiting for this execution. It wasn't a fight. It was an execution. Right. You know, when Sugar Ray Leonard was the baddest motherfucker around, and like, oh shit, Sugar Ray Leonard, they're going to have a rematch with Thomas Hearns. You know, like, it's like, it was exciting.
Yeah.
But you didn't know who was going to win.
Right.
You know?
You knew Mike Tyson was going to victimize somebody on HBO.
Shit.
And you were going to watch it. You were going to pay $45
when for it. When you saw Mike Tyson fight Tony Tubbs, what the fuck did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
The fuck did
you know what's funny is my granddad, some old school dude, loved the Friday night fights and all that, and wasn't with Mike Tyson at all. Most granddads weren't. He's like, he ain't shit, you know, talking all that shit.
Right.
Wait till Larry Holmes gets a hold of him.
Yeah.
He got a hold of Larry Holmes. Larry Holmes, I think he was quoted as saying, that man hits harder than anything I've ever felt in my life.
He was on a totally different level. I would have loved to have seen him at his very best against everybody.
Me too.
Not saying he would have beaten Ali, but man, would that have been exciting.
Yeah, you can never say who can do what.
Yeah,
but
you never know.
I'm privy to him because I was part of that generation, you know.
Better technical boxers, you know, there was better, like Lennox Lewis at his best was a better technical boxer, and he was a hard guy to crack. He would have been interesting because by the time Tyson fought him, Tyson was already older, and he had already really lost most of his motivation. He just wasn't the same. He was trying to get a payday, and he even admitted it after the fight. But when he was younger, man, that wasn't the case. When he was younger, it was a totally different animal. It would have been interesting to see him at his very best, like in the Larry Holmes fight. That was at him at his very best. He was a destroyer.
Michael Spinks.
I would have loved to see that guy against Ali.
Well, at 21, he was at his, I wouldn't say the apex of his talent. It was just that at that when Cusumano died around then, when he had won,
he hadn't slipped yet.
And then when Cusumano died, and you're pretty much in Don King's hands, I think that creates, like, now you have the, you know, one of the greatest athletes that ever lived, the killing machines.
Right.
And if it's in the wrong hands and it's not fostered right, it's going to be, you know, used the wrong way. Because I always feel like he's got a great heart, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he's one of these guys who you can see his emotion, you can see him, and he was just always jerked around by the wrong people, you know?
Well, that's definitely going to be the case in any situation where you got some powerful fucking kid that can make you a lot of money.
Yeah.
They're going to, you know, do whatever they want to do with you and, you know, help you in some ways and support you and, you know, make sure that you make money. But at the end of the day, they're just trying to push you
around. Can you imagine how cunty Robin Givens must have been when they were married? A Harvard graduate with Mike Tyson.
Do you remember that fucking interview they did where she was throwing him under the bus about how crazy he is and violent? And this is on TV, and he's just sitting there like, what?
It's like him and Barbara Walters, right? And he's just sitting there just taking the beating.
I can't believe this bitch is going to go out like this.
Yeah, I could snap her. I'm the man.
I can't believe this. I can't believe all of the things I've done to save her life.
Head of the class. That's the best she had done. He had knocked niggas out left and right, and she's going to go in and drag him under the bus. Well, I'm like, please.
She was beautiful.
She was enough.
You know, that's the problem. When you get some beautiful, manipulative person, usually a crazy person, mm-hmm. a person that really wants to pretend to be something else and then get into your life and then control it like there's some sort of a fucking parasite that's, you know, put a wheel behind your neck. Oh, yeah. You know? I mean, really, that's what she was.
Wants to become the little parasite. Creature in Men in Black who lives in your brain and drives with joysticks.
Women want to do that to powerful men. Oh, yeah. There's a thing that women want to do to a man that has some semblance of success, some power, something where it makes him seem extraordinary. If she can dominate him with her pussy, that like robs him of his extraordinary ability.
It takes his chi all away. Yeah.
Like a girl that wants to fuck Francis Ford Coppola, like to this day, there's bitches that try to fuck Francis Ford Coppola. He might be 80 years old or whatever.
Right.
There's some crazy hot bitch out there who's, you know, goth and she's got a fucking tattoo of a bat above her pussy. Yeah. And she wants to fuck him.
And she's
she wants
to fuck him. She's got a chi siphoning badge and she's ready to take his creativity.
She loved Apocalypse Now. Or was that his movie? It was, right?
Yeah.
She loved Apocalypse Now and she wants to suck his dick.
Yeah,
just the Bat Cave.
Yeah, so
they're out there.
There's bitches out there that will ruin your life, just like there's dudes that will ruin women's lives. You know, it's not even a male female issue; it's a retard issue.
You know? It's a
broken human issue. People, it's knowing having children too. You see this so fucking clearly. Like you have a direct input on how this human being develops. Very direct. You know, it's real clear. You teach them good things, and then they repeat those good things, and you see them hugging little girls and having fun. You see, like, there's all this good energy is coming out of your kids.
Yeah.
And then you see these fucking people that are smoking and yelling at their kid, and their kid's beating another kid with a stick.
Yeah.
And like, okay.
Kids are little savages.
It's so clear. It's like they're what they are is bundles of potential.
Yeah.
But you gotta fucking raising a human being and developing a human being is one of the most complex and demanding tasks a fucking human being can undertake, and one of the most important because it literally the quality of the fucking society around it is based on how well the people inside of this group are at raising their children. That's the number one concern.
Right.
If you are terrible at raising your children will become problems. They're gonna break into cars. They're gonna be pains in the asses. They're gonna cause crime.
Yeah.
The less of those, the more people that do a good job raising their kids, the better. The more people that are moral, the better.
Yeah, or if you're an idiot, at least yield to yourself and say, I'm an idiot. I'm going to make my kid not an idiot so I can break this chain. How do you
do that, though? Idiots don't know they're idiots, man. Almost every idiot thinks the world's fucking them over and they really should have got a better break. And, you know, whenever you hear that from a person, look, the world fucks everybody over, stupid.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line of your life, you're going to think you should have got this and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And this should have won your way and it didn't.
Well, it's what you make of it, and it's just like all that poor me shit. I'm like, you know what, take a look. What if you lived in Japan? What if you lived, you know, anywhere else where it sucked? It's like, get some perspective. It's like
guys will come to you with some stupid shit like, yeah man, I can't catch a break, man. I was this girl, you know, and I thought she was the one and I was ready to get married and I got the ring and I came over a fucking apartment a day early and she's fucking this guy and she, I can't fucking believe it, bro. I mean I can't catch a break. I'm like, what do you mean can't catch a break? You just got the best break ever. You almost married that crazy hooker. Right? You were coming over there with a ring and she's sucking some other guy's cock. You got like clear evidence that she's a skank. This is a time machine, bro.
Right.
You're able to go into the future, see how this would have turned out, and you can nip it at the bud right here. And what the fuck are you talking about?
You saved yourself attorney's fees and a long, lengthy process, too.
You caught an awesome break. What do you mean you can't catch a break? You just can't handle your breaks.
It's all a matter of perspective.
You just want everything to be perfect.
Right.
And it's not going to be perfect, but you just caught a huge break. That guy, realistically, he should shed a couple tears and then start laughing and go, God damn, I got off light.
Think
about what if you had kids with this crazy hooker?
You walk home with kids and their Happy Meals and mom's sitting on some
sucking some guy's cock right in the living room, hoping to get it done quick before her husband comes home, but they don't time it right and you walk in. Like, that's how crazy that bitch is.
Yeah.
Your kids are watching her sucking off some giant black fucking telephone worker.
And then you have to consider this. You have to consider why are you attracting these kind of chicks into your life to begin with? You know, are you that big of a dope that you attracted some kind of chick like that?
Well, sometimes they trick you just by being hot. That's a real problem with dudes. I don't know if it's the same problem with girls.
That should be a warning sign, though, being hot.
It must be the same problem with girls, because girls wind up with jerky guys, and you know those jerky guys must just fuck the shit out of them.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably what's going on there.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of some sort of a problem in their personality, some sort of a weird disorder where they can't get someone out of their life. There's the people that have that. I mean, what do they call that?
They have some kind of codependency issue?
Yeah, codependent issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's people that have that. But other than that, you got to think, the guy's probably fucking the shit out of that girl.
It's just like, I don't get people who are in these miserable fucking relationships. It's like, I love my girl. I love her because she's fun to kick it with, and I like to hang out with her. You know what I mean?
You're lucky.
If I didn't like her, I get rid of her.
I think here's two keys. Number one, you like yourself.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
And your girl likes herself too. So you're both happy.
Right.
And as happy as you can be reasonably.
It's not magical. Yeah. It's not like every day we wake up, it's like, oh, honey, I love you so much. Sometimes we wake up, it's like, don't even talk to me.
Right, right.
But it's like, if you can get, if two people can live their lives and not break each other's balls, not create drama, that kind of thing. And I know that sounds very, you know, nirvana and ideal. Right,
it's possible though.
But it is possible because I'm not asking for too much either.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. You have to be reasonable, and you have to be even in like what you expect out of that person, and you know how you deal with them too.
It's, and I know who I can be. Yeah. I can be a real dick. It's like, you know, we're guys. A girl says something stupid, you're gonna be a dick back.
Especially like if you're really struggling, if you're really trying to put it down. It's hard, man. You get that grinding mentality where you're always like trying to go, get ahead. And then when someone like trips that up with I need too much attention, I need this, I need that. Like, it's very difficult to be considerate.
Right.
You know, you'd, it's easy like to go, well, you shut the fuck up and leave me alone. Yeah. I got shit going on here.
And then you start to realize, though, after a few years, that never serves you well. Because now you've got a 6-hour fight instead of a 2-hour fight.
Yeah. And you were partially to blame. I mean, you got to step back.
I always try to fix it, though. I always stay in relationships longer because I'm like, you know what? I should try to work together with something, like a problem. Because, I mean, like, if it was anything, like if I was sick down the line, what, is she just going to drop me because I'm sick?
Right.
You know, you should. So I always have that mentality. So I've been in relationships where, like, I lasted an extra year and a half.
Right.
And it was just trying to fix the relationship.
Sometimes it works. I mean, people have gotten rough patches in their relationships and they pull themselves out of it, but it's like, what are you accepting though? How broken is this person?
You know, I can't, and that's the thing. I'm not in it to fix that other person. Right. It's like, I accept that, and then I'll work on the things like myself. Like I'll act like my dad sometimes, just clam up and be like a 1950s dickhead dad. You know, just reading the papers, smoking and drinking, and don't even fucking talk to me. You know, I'll be like that, and then I'll have to snap myself out of it because I'll be like, all right, you know, look at it from her side. Who wants to be with this asshole? Right. You know, so. It's like knowing a little bit about yourself too, and working on that.
And plus, we're talking about girls that just learned to drive like 3 years ago.
Yeah, you know, they're
still got a brain that's like trying to learn how life operates.
Yeah, and they'll take it to the mat. They'll fight you forever.
Okay, what do you mean? You're talking about girls that you're dating.
We're referring to women,
Brian.
Yeah,
his girlfriend's not 20 years old.
No, she just turned 27 last Monday.
The fuck, Brian? That's a woman. That's not a real woman.
But I got her when she was 22.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. You got her.
I got her when she was trying to win. Man, I found her on MySpace. I was trolling for whores, and that one found its way in the net.
What's the age difference?
4 years.
Listen to this fucked up story, because Brian was telling me this before the podcast, so I said, listen, stop. You got to tell me this during the podcast if you're willing to talk about this. Oh, so he's complaining about his girlfriend. Girlfriend getting harassed. So listen to this story.
I wasn't complaining.
You were sort of.
No, I was just saying, how funny is this?
Okay.
That she's filming a movie, and Ron Jeremy...
Your girlfriend is a porn star.
Yeah, but she wasn't. This isn't a porn that she's filming. She's filming a horror movie.
Okay, and, but everybody should know.
She's a porn star. But she's girl. So that's
only girl.
Yeah. So
those are legit.
That's legit. So anyways, Ron Jeremy is there, and this has happened like with my ex-girlfriend, where like Ron Jeremy,
who also was a porn star,
Ron Jeremy came up and was like, hey, give me a kiss on the mouth, you know, and she's like, what?
Shocking,
you know, this is crazy. But it's funny, the second he walks in, he's just like, oh, I didn't know there was going to be any beautiful women there here today.
She's telling you all this?
Yeah, she's
do you think she's trying to make you jealous?
No, because I am the one that asked about it. I'm like, did Ron Jeremy do any creepy shit? And she goes, well, no. Well, yeah, I guess he did. You know, and I kept on trying to get it out of her. She didn't just come up and go, hey, Ron Jeremy did this.
You say creepy shit, but that's like standard porn star behavior.
That's what I'm thinking. What's creepy for him, though, you know?
That's not creepy.
No. What's creepy is, like, because I've seen it in my own eyes, what he does. Like, with my ex-girlfriend, they were cutting a ribbon at an event. Like, it was him and her both cutting in a ribbon. She's never met him before. He's like putting up his arm around her and like rubbing her back, and she's like, whoa, you know, what the fuck, you know, and doing, you know, just very touchy feely, and then saying, like whispering in her ears, like, you know, everyone wants to see us make out, so let's do this. And she's like, no, I'm not gonna make out with you. Dude,
why are you hating on his game?
I'm not.
That's what you do when you run Jeremy.
In your head, yeah, I know, but you're in your head, you're thinking I'm hating.
Okay,
just asking, what did he do any creepy shit?
Okay, you know? So you were just like, you weren't upset that he did it.
Not upset at all.
You're almost confirming.
Your girlfriend, by the way, we should just say, you know, we've labeled her a porn star. She's a very nice person. You know, whatever the fuck she does for a living. Brian's girl's very nice. But, you know, man, that's fucking... It's like the scorpion biting the frog, bro.
Oh, no, no, I'm not.
It's in my nature.
Again, I just wanted to hear what
I would
did.
Expect him to bring a boner everywhere he went.
Yeah, man.
And whip Jeremy. It out, too. Like, hey, you guys like boners? You know?
And he prides himself on not using Viagra. He doesn't give a fuck.
Oh, wow.
Because I don't use it. I don't believe in it.
Yeah.
Fucking animal.
I can't believe, I couldn't imagine him not doing something.
Every venereal disease that's ever existed is fighting against each other to the death inside his balls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They're all just duking it out. He stays like, I bet if he takes tests, he has nothing. He shows completely clean.
I know.
It's all because they're all each killing other each other.
Right. It looks like the Battle of Gettysburg, herpes versus AIDS, just going at
there's
it.
There's no antibodies necessary because the viruses just fight themselves.
Yeah. The T cells are on the sidelines laughing.
Yeah, everyone's going, Jesus, this is just an internal warfare. If someone wins, then he's got a real issue because then the host will get attacked.
I guess I feel somewhat comforted to know he would act like that. It's almost like finding out Michael Jordan. I met Michael Jordan one time, and he talked basketball.
Right.
And he talked it openly, and I was very happy about that.
I got
to talk basketball. You know, you got to talk puss with a puss smith, essentially. You know, it's like in Ron Jeremy, and it's like, you know, sometimes you want somebody, he's an ambassador of what he does, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah,
so you want
sure.
him to be an ambassador.
Right? Yeah, you don't want Ron Jeremy to be fucking doing yoga and drinking wheatgrass.
Yeah,
you exactly. want him to be banging hoes at every bus stop.
Right.
That's what he's doing. He's
it's
goddamn
nice
Ron
to know.
Jeremy.
I actually found it awesome that at the end of the shoot, he comes up there and goes, so if you want to come to the Rainbow Room later, I promise not to molest you, or something like that.
You know how many times that got him his dick sucked?
Oh, a big
About
time.
A million.
Oh, yeah.
There was a year ago, there was a... like a celebrity golf tournament that I think was Brett Michaels or one of those guys has once a year.
Every rose has its thorn.
And every hole there was like a different porn star or stripper or something. And my ex-girlfriend was working like the eighth hole or whatever this golf tournament. And there was these two girls with them that were just total like porn stars, like heart, like amateurs, strippers / porn stars / escorts or whatever the fuck.
They'll show you whatever they need.
Yeah. Unfortunate tattoos.
Yeah. They saw Ron Jeremy, and the one girl just turned and goes, "Oh my god, I got to suck his dick," and just went right over to Ron, and they just started pulling down their pants, sucking his dick right on the golf course. And my girlfriend at the time was just taking video, like, "Look at this."
He had sex with her on the golf course.
They just blowjob, but yeah.
Last time you told me the story, you told me they had sex.
I don't even remember, but it was. I thought it was, but I just thought
you
of it right
supplemented
now.
Supplemented your story.
I didn't want to say sex if it didn't happen. I knew the blowjob.
I'm pretty sure
happened.
Last time you told me he bent her over and he was banging her right there on the golf course.
All right, then that's what happened. But I remember blowjob. I don't.
Either way, that's pretty
Ron
cool.
Jeremy being Ron Jeremy.
Yeah. I think it's sweet. I think that's exactly what he has to be. But it's just hilarious to me that.
Does it seem weird to you? Like, what is it like dating some chick that you know that all these other dudes could see her pussy and she's gonna?
I don't give a shit about that.
Dildos in there and stuff.
I don't care about that.
Doesn't really bother.
Doesn't bother me at all.
What is it? What is she? Has she been in a lot of things? Like,
is it exciting?
Is it exciting?
Yeah. Is it? There's something extra thrilling about it?
No, it's kind of cool because like I love porn. I love women. I love women's bodies.
Right.
If she has a nice body, it's not like I'm like, no, you guys can't see this. To me, it's like, dude, check this shit out.
Like, she's people really celebrate porn and like know certain. Like, I've always, I love sex big time. I guess I just have a pretty good imagination. I can get one out over something from eighth grade that I remember.
Right.
You know, and porn's always been like fishing to me. I love fishing, but I'm not that into watching it. I'd rather be doing it kind of thing.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
But it seems now that porn has taken on a real, like, there actually are more than one stars. Like, it seems like people really make names for themselves.
Right.
Is she in that?
That
kind of known circle.
She's a she's an award winner.
It's becoming more.
She's an award.
It's becoming
winner.
More.
With your eyebrows raised.
She won.
She's an award winner.
She won the Grab Your Ankles Award.
You know what the biggest? You know what the biggest difference is, Joe? Is that if I didn't meet her. Like as a normal person, and then she got into porn, that would have been hardcore.
Oh yeah,
you
know? You'd
like,
have to.
Like,
see
I
her.
Couldn't deal with that. Like if my girlfriend just one day is like, "Hey, I want to start doing porn," I'd be like,
right.
"Oh,
right,
yeah."
I see what you're saying. So you accept her as she is when you met her.
Somebody who's already opened up Pandora's box.
Hey,
you
man,
don't want to help her.
Look,
open
dude,
it.
This is a crazy world. It doesn't have to make sense. It just whatever you like. If you like it, that's good.
It's
you
pretty
guys
cool.
are friendly together. That's great. There's no worries. All that bullshit about you know worrying what other people think and other people's judgments. It ain't gonna last, people. This shit is temporary. Temporary as fuck. Your body is slowly gonna give out on you, and you're gonna be left with a wreck of a life trying to fucking look back at it going, why didn't I enjoy this?
Yes.
Why didn't I just have some fun?
That's right. None of it matters. It's all a joke.
It's all fun.
Yeah.
If you choose to go in that direction.
Mm-hmm. If I had a bam, like a sweet body, like if I worked on my body hardcore.
If I had a sweet body. It,
like if I was rocking Joe Rogan's body right here, because it's sweet.
Right.
If I was rocking, I would totally be, I would not give a shit. I'd be showing my dick nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
I would be doing porn. I would be doing whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't want to be the fucking minion. I don't want to be like that.
The minion.
Checking my anonymities.
So the folks who don't know what you're talking about, there's a website where a guy we've talked about on the podcast before is really ugly and he fucks all these hot chicks. He's ugly and fat and he calls himself the Minion.
What's his game?
It's just the porn.
The numbers game? Oh, is he a porn guy?
Yeah, I guess you just pay him. They'll fuck you. You know, I mean, you ever seen those amateur ones? There was a girl from Arizona State that got busted. She got kicked out of school because they I don't know, I guess they have some sort of a fucking morals clause. You're not allowed to do porn.
At ASU?
Yeah, whatever it was. I mean, maybe I'm reading it wrong. Maybe she got fired from her job there. I don't think so, though. I'm pretty sure she was a student there.
Yeah.
And anyways, or maybe she lost her. What the fuck's the story? Is anyway,
yeah.
This poor girl, you know, she's just dumb. She got tricked. Next thing you know, she's doing porn, and they put it up on the internet, and all her fucking friends in school are like, oh my god, Debbie's sucking this guy's dick. And you know, it doesn't matter what the guy looks like. They just have this setup.
Yeah.
This is a lot of them. The girl comes in. There's cameras. This is like most a lot of people's favorite type of porns.
What is this, like voyeurism or
it's
something?
Like, well, it's like an interview porn. This is what it is. There's a guy in the room, and you see it from his perspective. You don't see him ever. So he's got like the camera on. The girl walks in the room, and then he starts asking her questions. Where are you from? How old are you? Have you ever done this before? No. You know what you're here for? Yeah. And then, you know, ask him a bunch of questions. Where'd you grow up? Blah, 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 blah. You know, are you married? Do you have any kids? The whole deal. Then, you here to suck some cock? Yeah. And then, you know, the guy pulls his dick out and the girl starts sucking. And you can see there's like this weird fucking energy in the air because they both know that they're doing this and it's gonna get online.
Right.
They're gonna do this online. I mean, they're not really porn stars. I mean, he's not really a porn star and she's just some chick who's getting talked into doing this. I mean, you know, they haven't gone to Vivid and worked on.
Are you talking about casting couches or?
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
Yeah. Like those are all like fake. You know,
yeah,
fake.
Yeah, yeah. Again, no, some of them are fake.
No, they all are because they can't film it unless they have already done a drug test or if they've already signed all their papers. Like
in every part of the country?
In at least most, you know, at least United States.
I mean, that's probably the rule. That's I bet that's the rules, but I'm sure there's people out there gorillaing.
They're pretty hardcore about
yeah.
it. They are pretty hardcore about it.
I've seen those.
What do you mean, though? I mean, if a girl sucks a guy's dick on video, they have to get a she has to get a drug test?
Or not drug test, AIDS test.
In the whole country?
In the whole country.
Are you positive about this?
I'm pretty positive. I'm not 100%.
We should research that.
I know at least.
Okay, let's not talk about that until we figure this out, because this is a silly conversation then. Because that's the main crux of the issue.
Right.
I mean, I know a lot of them are fake, but a lot of them, like this girl from ASU, this
Bang Bus, perfect example. That's fake.
Well, a lot of those are porn stars, right?
Well, those they're not Bang just Bus? Porn stars, but they're the whole like the whole picking you up. It's the whole thing's been set up. You
right.
know, all of that.
That shit. One, but not all of them, right? These gorilla ones where you don't even see the guy's face.
Yeah, there's got to be some.
There's a lot of gorilla.
If it's on a website that's making money and it's a legit website, then yes, it's fake.
Where would we find this out?
Hold on, make a phone
rules.
Call.
I'm gonna make a phone call. Porn rules. What would you Google,
Freddie Locker? Rules, butthole, California.
STD test.
Rules for taking loads on face on camera.
Film porn law.
No, Brian, this is not true. Porn stars could see mandatory STD testing. Could see. They do not have them right now.
What's the date on that?
It's not May 11th. Or excuse me, March 21st, 2011.
Pretty recent.
Are you sure about that?
I'm reading it right now, bro. On the LA Weekly. Porn stars in California will see stricter safety rules on how they do their thing on set. Just like construction worker has to wear a hard hat, they might have to don condoms and submit to tests. They're saying they don't have mandatory tests yet.
From my understanding, it's already been mandatory. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are they saying this in LA Weekly then, bro?
I don't know.
These bitches are telling you they're getting tested and you're just wrong.
Yeah, that shit's
free.
No,
because I'm fucking living off those tests. I'm like, let me see. Oh, cool. I don't have AIDS again this week.
That LA Weekly is free. They don't have any reason to lie to me.
Yeah, I don't think LA is lying.
Well, I know that that what's been lately is the condom laws where they're trying to make it. So I think they've already made it.
It's not mandatory, bro. Here's the deal. In porn world in LA, they already test their performers regularly. That hasn't stopped diseases, including HIV positive scandal for one gay performer last year. Yeah, apparently it's not. They do it. They do it a lot. But it doesn't seem to be like a law.
So the girl at ASU sounds real, though. I think some of my
I think it is real. I'm pretty sure.
Some of the followers are from ASU. I think there's an ASU McKenzie following me. Find out that ASU McKenzie. Well,
there's been a few guys that posted on our board that were porn guys. One of them, man, was did just really like humiliation porn. He would like it was like really kind of depressing. He would tell the stories about how he roped these chicks in and how like you know a lot of them were like single moms and they needed money for the rent and how he would hook it up and the next thing you know they would be doing like internet porn for him. It's really fucking crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would imagine everybody recruiting, especially for the internet porn, is going to be sleazy because you're going to go after who's weak. It's just like a military recruiter is going to go after a 17-year-old.
I just combined two stories again. The guy who was the bringing in the women and getting and paying for the rent and shit like that. That wasn't a porn guy. He was a guy who used to write stories about it and he had a website about it. I completely confused it. The porn guys. That's a different story.
Mm.
Damn, I hate when I do that. Yeah. When the stories that you really never thought about for years and they're somewhere in the back of your head, and then you combine them together and you're like, wait a minute, you guys stop moving.
Yeah.
Stay still. What are you doing wearing his clothes? Yeah. You get over there. Yeah. You know, you fuckers, you tricked me there for a second.
Let's say I get that all the time. Or you just simply thought you made it up. I thought I'd made... I remember in fifth grade, we buried a time capsule in our school. And I was driving the other day and I was like, holy shit, we buried a fucking time capsule. It was 89. I was like, I wonder if they dug it up. So I emailed the school that I went to back in 89. I was like, hey, my name's Freddie Lockhart.
You did this?
Yeah, I said, my name's Freddie Lockhart. You know, I went to school there in 89. I'm curious, we buried a time capsule. Did you guys find it? She's like, funny enough, we did, unearth it. And it had some water damage. But in my mind, I thought we stuck like a Game Boy in there. I think what I'm doing is just associating all things 1989 we shoved in there. But in 1989, I don't think any kid on Earth would spare their fucking Game Boy for a capsule, a time capsule. So I think what it just was like pictures and prices of candy bars and shit. But I was just so compelled by just that memory popping in my head. I got with that lady, and it sounds like she's probably been there this whole time too. She's like, it's always nice to hear from former students, and yes, we did dig it up. I was like, bitch, was there a treasure in there or what? And it turns out just papers and shit, no Game Boy. I thought for sure I had a Game Boy in there.
It was just papers.
That's like it? like you know, like newspapers and things of the day. But to me, it's like I'm more impressed. Like I wanted to see, since the technological revolution has gone leaps and bounds since 1989 to now, that's what we should have put in there, is like, you know, some outdated shit so we could laugh at it now.
Have you ever thought about like buying one of those off of like Amazon or eBay or something like that, just to see what it's like to play with it now?
What's that?
Some old ass Game Boy.
Oh, yeah. I have all the old ass Game Boy.
Do you have all that stuff?
You have like Atari? I have all the boxes. I have all the.
Really?
I have no storage. Why do you think my office is so cramped?
I have an old Nintendo. I was telling him earlier, there's a show on Justin TV. This guy called The Angry Gamer.
Love
You've
it.
Seen it.
Yeah, it's fun.
And this guy's fucking hilarious. He's this nerd. I guess he's like in his early 30s, but he reviews old video games. That's his whole job. He's got this whole basement, Nintendo games as far as the eyes can see, Sega Genesis games, you name it. He'll review it, but as an adult, an intellectual adult, who curses like a sailor, he'll review the game and it'll take you back to when you're 9 years old and you're playing Rygar or something. You're like, how the fuck do I jump over here?
He uncovers
glitches and he shows you that I was right, there wasn't a way to do that the whole time. But I got to watching this dude shit like 9 episodes. He's just pissed about everything. He's like, now I'll play it on the original Game Boy. Yeah. This game fucking sucks.
Yeah.
He never likes anything, but he voices your frustrations as a 9-year-old, as an adult. It's
that's
pretty
so
fucking
weird.
Cool. So I think, what is it? The Angry Gamer?
I think it's The Angry Gamer, himself? If
this
I remember.
Shit's
yeah.
fucking hilarious.
That's so weird. It's just reviewing old shit.
It's retro reviews, though, but that's cool shit, you know, especially to go back and really review something from an adult perspective. I thought it was just a dumb kid. I was like, I can't figure it out. It doesn't work, you know. But now I realize I was a dumb kid, but there was a glitch as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Fucking retro gaming. It's pretty amazing. I bought something the other day on my iPad. I'm like, you know what? This is like an old classic game. I was like, I think this is probably the sixth time I've bought this game.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
in your
life. Like Pac-Man. I've bought Pac-Man at least 20 times in my life.
And who knows how many quarters spent on an arcade version, too.
Yeah.
Can you imagine trying to explain video games to someone in the Middle Ages?
Yeah, I know. It was, where do you start? Okay, you know what 8-bits are?
All right, you know how you draw pictures. Now imagine that moving.
Not
familiar. Controlling.
No.
control it with a mouse.
Yeah. Sounds like
and
the double
keyboard.
Yeah,
or, you know,
imagine trying to explain how to work an iPhone to somebody 10 years ago.
Imagine explaining. No,
yeah, right. Touch screen.
Yeah,
it's like,
there was an episode of the show Journeyman. Did you guys ever see that show? Short-lived time traveling series on ABC. Journeyman. I think it was like 2007, and it was really fucking good. Of course, I'm a time travel nerd, so I was probably the only one watching it. But he goes back to like 1981, and he gets shot, and he has to go seek medical attention at the hospital. they find his iPhone laying on his chest, and this doctor's like, what the fuck? Like, scrolling through it, and I love that shit. Just to see, that's what I would time travel, is to go blow people's minds with shit.
Yeah, if you showed someone an iPhone just 20 years ago, they would really, really fucking freak out. Sprint it's amazing how you could touch the screen, and it knows, like, where your finger touches, like, for letters and shit like that.
Yeah,
it's amazing how accurate that is.
But you know how long this shit's been out, though? Go look, like, the first touchscreen phone was, like, Sprint, or somebody put one out in 1992. And it was it's an all touch screen like color phone. It was, of course, it was like $2,000. Like Google first.
Do you remember the Newton,
Mac Newton? Sure,
yeah, remember that stupid pad.
The first iPad, yeah.
My very first development deal. I came over here, and this guy who was this big executive at Disney had one, and he was showing us all in the office.
Oh wow!
And we were like, "Whoa, what the fuck is that?" He's like, "This is a Newton."
I didn't know that was actually released.
Yeah, it was for a couple of years. Yeah. It ran.
Wow.
This is it's like crazy. 93, 94, somewhere around then.
Yeah, they did them 92, 93, 94. At the end, you could email from them, too. Wow. You could fax, email, all that.
That's incredible.
That's when I was PC only.
That's so back in the day, man.
It really is. It's funny when you think about it, but it's like all that stuff. It was they knew they wanted to do that shit. What I want to do is go blow Steve Jobs' mind and show him the shit he's going to invent, but show him when he's 20.
Yeah,
he's, you know?
Yeah, right? Yeah, no kidding.
Look what you're going to come up with.
Yeah, he would. Well, you'd probably ruin it all.
Yeah, you would. You'd fuck up everything in time.
If he knew that he was going to be that successful, maybe he wouldn't work as hard.
Oh, so in that journeyman, what happened is he leaves his iPhone back there, and nanotechnology is now sped up 30 years because he left it back in the past. So he gets back to his present, and nanotechnology rules the world. There's just nothing but like.
What is this in? What is this from?
Journeyman. It's called a Journeyman. It was a one season on ABC. It's fucking fantastic.
Really?
It's on Hulu. You can catch all the episodes on Hulu.
And it got canceled?
It got canceled. You know how it is. Big budget, time travel, small brains, don't pick up, you know.
Journeyman. I never even heard of it.
Yeah, it was short.
It was really good, huh?
It was really good. It was done in the way that you wanted it to be done. Time travel. Like, they really hit the things I wanted to see.
Did they end it like they knew they were ending it, or did they just end it out of the blue?
It seems like they ended it out of the blue. It was probably one of those things. It went Christmas break.
It's right, bitches.
It was up in the air.
It's over, kids.
I was at Target the other day fucking just looking at cameras because like my little digital camera thing broke, and so I'm trying to find like a little small camera. And all the cameras were out of stock because of the Japan thing. And then I read the other day that the new iPhone is now rumored to be in September instead of June, maybe because of the Japan thing. I'm not sure.
I heard that too, yeah.
But I'm just amazed like how much that fucking shit has affected. You know,
that's
just like
nothing, dude.
Me buying a camera.
Yeah. That's a tiny thing. That's a tiny thing. The real issue is this fucking, the radiation's coming out of there now, man.
Do you think Japan's unlivable now? Do you think it's...
Well, they've jacked it up to Chernobyl levels.
Seven.
That's, you know, they didn't think it was going to get that bad. They said it's still not as bad as Chernobyl because it's more contained, and Chernobyl had ash fires that burned for days and spread the radioactive material. So, but it's problematic, man. It's a big, big issue, and they don't know how much worse it's going to get, and it's going to, they keep getting earthquakes there too. They had another one the other day, strong seven.
Yeah. And it never gets better, right? Radiation, you can't just, it's always going to be there, right? That's like dead land, right?
100,000 years, right? Yeah, it'll be fucked up for so long.
Fucking Asians are going to actually have tentacles coming out of them.
The idea that we have this, I mean, nuclear power is one of the all time craziest ideas, and everybody was like, nuclear power, it's one of these things, these fucking tie wearing Republican cunt bags. These assholes that are always like, hey, what's the alarm? What are you alarmists? These liberals who want to listen, there's nothing wrong with nuclear power. Nuclear power is clean, it's safe.
Like
outside of 3 Mile Island and Chernobyl, where's the problems? We've had nuclear power for 30 years. 30 years is a goddamn blink of an eye. It's nothing.
Yeah.
If human beings are going to exist in the future, thousands and thousands of years from now, what are we going to keep piling up? These fucking toxic rods until we have one part of the globe where you couldn't even fly over it in a plane, or your fucking plane will melt and everyone will die of cancer. What the fuck are you going to do? How are you going to store all that shit?
Yeah.
I mean, they have this thing in Sweden, I think it is, where they have a tunnel that's like goes deep into the earth in this vault they created that'll last 100,000 years just to keep these fucking things in it.
Jeez.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, the idea of splitting atoms to light homes, though, and harnessing it, and their man think that we can control splitting atoms.
But what's the options? You look at the grid, look at like flyover LA and look at the size of that fucking grid.
Yeah.
Look at all those goddamn lights. Look at all those houses.
It's like a circuit board.
It's insane how big it is.
Don't you think it should be mandatory solar collector roofs or something like that? It should be fucking something
for
like
California, 100%, man.
Yeah.
The problem is it's really expensive. You know, people can barely afford to put gas in their tank right now. I mean, now gas is $4.20 for regular. I saw that yesterday. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
$4.20 for regular. I'm like, that's incredible.
I spent $90 filling my tank the other day.
Dude, that's wrong.
Really? Wait, what do you drive?
You know,
Ford Edge.
These fucking cunts that we have running this country, man. There's a story that Matt Taibbi wrote for Rolling Stone about the I put it on my Twitter earlier today because somebody retweeted it, or somebody sent it to me and I retweeted it, and it is mind-boggling. And it's all about the wives of bankers getting these it's the Rolling Stone article is called "The Real Housewives of Wall Street," and it's about these wives of these fucking bankers getting these $250 million loans. It's incredible. This story will make your fucking blood boil. They've tapped into the money that was supposed to be for the bailout, and the bailout provided a bunch of different loan options, and it was basically to re-stimulate the economy. These fucking multi-millionaire bankers saw this opening in the system and capitalized on it.
God.
Dude, it's terrifying. And the way these bonds and these things work is they buy up sketchy bonds, and if the bonds fail, if everything fails, they don't have to pay the money back. But if they profit, they make money off of it. I mean, the whole thing, it's mind-boggling.
It's crazy. I mean, it's like, it's not admirable. It's almost crazy how you see the second something comes, somebody finds a way to exploit it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Somebody finds some loophole in there. And shame on Obama's entire administration and Bush's for not putting some literature in that document saying that you cannot... You know, no profit should be made off this, you know, from the bankers or the bankers' wives. $250 million.
Well, that's one thing. But how about there should be no fucking the bailout is the way they've structured it is completely insane. It's like free money.
Yeah.
There's no accountability. They can't account for the money. We're not getting receipts either. It's not like the United States citizens have paid the taxes towards this get to review where the money went. So there's like an account of it so you can watch it and track it.
Right.
No, you can't, man. They don't know where the fuck it's going. It's the whole thing is complete utter chaos, and it's completely out of line. These people are getting giant bonuses, man. Their banks failed and they got bonuses.
They get the rich get richer,
and the money comes directly from the taxpayer. There is no money. The bank has failed. They don't have any money, so they get an infusion of money from the federal government, and then they have to pay these guys money. These guys, millions and millions of dollars. And it's amazing that Obama gets away with this.
Yeah.
That all of them get away with this. You are supposed to be the fucking president, you asshole. You're supposed to be protecting people from this shit.
Yeah.
We're not. This is not supposed to have ever happened. And when this does happen, you're the one who's supposed to be us. You're the one who's supposed to step in and say, what the fuck, man? You're Obama. You're 46 years old, man. You're only a few years older than me.
Yeah.
You're a few years older than me. You're my friend.
Right.
And you're in there with these fucking cunts, and you're not saying shit.
Yeah.
You're letting these guys steal money. You're letting them steal billions and crush the economy and continue to do business as usual, and the banks get bigger and bigger because they fucking buy up these other failing banks, and then they become even more untouchable.
And American cities with decay, like Detroit.
And they helped you get in power, so that's what's up? Like, where does this end? Are you going to, when you get out, are you going to tell us what's up? What happens then? Is he going to get, maybe he loses this year, Newt Gingrich wins, and he tells us exactly how the fucking world works.
Yeah.
You know?
Is
that going to happen? Please.
Well, I'm sure he got in, and just like any other aspiring man of anybody running for president, I don't really think it's been since Kennedy or someone like that who's really in it for, you know, political reasons. And even Kennedy was groomed for it.
Yeah.
You know, he was groomed for it. He was of the pedigree. But the thing is, like, now it's a corporate, it's a CEO job. You're not, you're the top of the company now. You're not, like you said, a man of the people, for the people, by the people. And he might have gone into that thing thinking he could be. But once you sit down, they sit you in that room. Look, boy, you're the puppet.
Do you think that's true, though? Or do you think it's just all bullshit?
I don't think he has any power. And I don't think it's any worse than it's ever been. I think everybody, it gets up up in arms. It's like, look at Nixon, look at all those guys. Everybody was, how could you not be president and start to develop some grandiose ideas?
Yeah, but dude, you gotta, financially, it's never been this way. It's never been with the deregulation that was passed during the Reagan administration and continued all through Clinton and Bush and all this. That has allowed these financial institutions to get into a position that we're supposed to be protected from after the Great Depression.
Sure.
After the Great Depression, they put all sorts of laws in place so that banks couldn't get risky with your money and do crazy shit and then wind up losing everything.
Right, which they did to us.
They got rid of all that shit. They get rid of all that shit, and then unchecked growth and spending came because of that. And these guys, these motherfuckers, took all kinds of crazy chances with people's money, and then it all fell apart, and then banks collapsed and people lost their life savings.
Well, it's happening too. Like, you look now, the cell phone companies are narrowing down to two. There's virtually two banks anymore.
That's not that bad though. You know? One's getting ripped off. This financial institution thing. What happened with the market is a goddamn heist. It's a giant heist.
Yeah.
People made millions of dollars in front of everyone's face after the banks failed, and Obama didn't do a damn thing. It's a heist.
And it went
on. He saw it. He knows it.
It went on in the 80s too, the Lincoln savings and loan scandal, and
but not like this. This is the biggest one by far ever that's ever been perpetrated by these people. Like, the whole thing is fraudulent.
Yeah.
The whole thing is a scam. From the very beginning, they knew everything was illegitimate. They knew what they were doing was wrong. They were offering clients like stocks that they knew that they were betting against. They were betting against these stocks, and yet they were offering up to their clients.
Yeah.
The whole thing is sickening, man. It's sickening. And Obama ain't doing shit. He's not saying anything. He's not doing anything. He's not freaking out.
Yeah.
It's sickening.
I don't think he will. I mean, why? He doesn't want to lose his job. He's going to, and all those people, you know, they help you get elected.
I know, but I mean, to do what? What are you going to do? Are you holding the barbarians back at the gate? I mean, is there so many spears and swords coming through that gate that you're just barely keeping us alive?
I don't think he's doing that. I think you are. Here's the idea of being president: to get your presidential library built, whether you serve 4 or 8 years, and to sell your book and to get your deal. You know, and to say that you did that in politics, because I bet you George W. Bush is having a dandy old life now and a good old time.
Hey, Brian, people get real distracted when you start wandering off when we're having conversations.
I'm actually just trying to fix the lag that everyone's talking about right now.
Fix lag. Ustream is just being itself. It's just not that spectacular.
Yeah, I did catch the Charlie Sheen Ustream, but it wasn't.
The first one was ridiculously bad. Oh. When he had like all his cronies, and you realize, wow, this is why that guy's
Simon
all fucked
Rex.
Up.
I hadn't heard that name since 1996.
Who is it?
One of the dudes who was hanging out with Charlie Sheen in that first Ustream.
Is that the guy from Duran Duran?
He was an MTV VJ, and there was some scandal happened. I can't remember what. Something put the kibosh on his fledgling career.
Really?
Yeah. Something. Come on, porn man. I think it involved porn.
Porn man.
Sure, you like the naked Nickelodeon.
Simon Rex. I don't remember him. So he was one of the ones that.
So he was one of the hangers on, and then you could tell, like, the other dude looked like some out of work jazz musician. It's like you can tell, like, now dude was geeking off of drugs, and I don't think he was on them, but I think he was geeking off of them, and his judgment was super suspect. If it's not already suspect.
Well, I think he was also swimming in all the love that he was getting from all these people. Winning was all over Twitter. Oh. He had over 1 million followers almost instantly, and I think he's like, I'm the fucking shit, people.
Right.
I told you, these fucking trolls, they're gonna wish they didn't get rid of me.
Right.
You know, I'll you know, I'm gonna have the public will demand that I come back.
Yeah.
But man, you're going out there on some fucking thin branches, son.
It's very hard for a guy like him, you know, to take that Howard Beale kind of zeal that he was taking, because at the end of the day is, you know, Howard Beale had a lot to say, whereas Charlie Sheen has a lot of bumper stickers, a lot of catchphrases, and that's fine. But as you're seeing as you go out there, this thing's petering on fumes now, and you're starting to realize. Alec Baldwin did a op-ed piece, I think, like in the HuffPost or something, or a direct letter to him, being like, "Quit being a douchebag."
Alec Baldwin,
yeah, and he's like, "Here's the thing: you're going against douchebags, and you're acting like one. You're going to lose. You don't fight the network. Just apologize. Go back." And I was like, well, you know, apparently Alec Baldwin said he acted like Charlie Sheen during the Hunt for Red October. It was supposed to be a whole bunch of movies for him, and he didn't get him because he was getting all like that too, like bigger than the production.
Oh, really?
But, you know, at the end of the day, if this thing turned out to be a hoax, I would say Charlie Sheen's fucking brilliant, but he's not brilliant enough to pull off this hoax. This is, you know, this is for real, and this is sad, and it's a guy who...
I haven't been sad once watching him.
I've been enjoying the shit out of it.
I can't watch those fucking videos where they show you how they kill pigs. You know, how they, you know, I can't watch those.
I've ignored the whole entire thing. I have not
the
watched
Charlie Sheen the thing?
I've watched a couple seconds really? When we talked about it in that one podcast. But
see, I'm very into it. I'm not it's against kind of when something happens. Like a lot of people, there's people something like that will happen, and then there's the whole sect of people like, you know, screw Charlie Sheen. Don't watch him. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna watch him. It's the flavor of the day. It's fun. It's interesting. This man's falling down. I like it.
I think it's fun.
I think it's a lot of
fun. I don't think it's good. It's definitely not. I mean, I wouldn't go to, maybe I would go to the live show for like 10 minutes. I would, if they put it online, I would watch it. Ugh. You know, I would watch the video of it. If just somebody to see else, how strange it was.
If it was somebody else, maybe I just never got into Sheen. I'm like, wow, I liked Hot Shots. I don't, that's about it.
I just
like
wondered.
Wall Street?
Never, yeah.
Gordon Gekko?
Long, that was a long time
Platoon,
ago.
Platoon,
1987. In 86.
Platoon?
Best Picture went 86.
Platoon was pretty sweet.
Nominated Best Picture, Wall Street 87. The guy had a legit little run there for a while.
Do you remember that movie? Was it Invasion or something like that? Alien Invasion? What the fuck was it called?
96-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah, with that black kid and him.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. The Alien
I watched that on an airplane from New York.
Solid fucking sci-fi flick. I was turned on to that by Dave Foley.
Wow.
We were doing news radio together, and he came back from the weekend with a big smile on his face. He goes, I saw a really good sci-fi movie. And he told me it was this movie. I go, that movie's good. He's like, yep. What was it called? Was it Alien Invasion?
I don't even remember what you're talking about.
I think Invasion. Just,
I bet people on Twitter
I think it's 1996. It was about black kid and him. That narrows it down. But I watched it on a plane. And I think I watched it on a plane from West Virginia to Phoenix, Arizona.
I saw Tron the other day, finally, 3D. Watched most of it and watched. You know, the CGI was completely horrible for that dude. There's been way better movies with better CGI.
Oh, I think I saw your tweet when you were about to get into it. Some wine, some weed, and Tron.
Yeah.
But I didn't see the after.
Simon Rex in 1993 at age 19 appeared solo in scenes for three masturbation porn films.
The Rival.
Oh, that's where.
And it came to surface after he started to get a name for himself.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But the CGI, what's his name?
Oh,
Jeff
Goldblum?
Wait a
minute, that's Dirt Nasty? Simon Rex is Dirt Nasty? Are they the same guy?
No.
Why is there a photo? The photo on Wiki is so wonky. Wiki's so crazy, man. See?
What?
That's that Dirt Nasty dude. It is Dirt Nasty, dude. That's his website, Dirt Nasty Music.
Dirt Nasty is Simon Rex?
It could be.
That's what it's saying here, man.
I'm sure somebody out there can confirm.
Dirt Nasty was like a rapper or something.
Okay. I thought he is a rapper. I think it's the same guy.
Yeah, I think it is. Because Simon Rex is kind of like a wigger type, you know?
Makes sense. So yeah, the CGI, was it Jeff Goldblum that's in the movie where they have like a younger version of him?
Ah, Jeff Goldblum, yes.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
That was so awful, though.
Oh, wait. No, Bridges?
Dirt Nasty is a moniker employed by Simon Rex.
Wow.
Yeah, Dirt Nasty is Simon Rex.
That's crazy. Don't know either of them.
Dirt Nasty has one song that's pretty fucking funny on YouTube. He's got some good songs, man.
He was a VJ, right, on MTV?
I don't know him from that. I only know him from very Dirt recently Nasty. From Dirt Nasty, from some of his songs that some people on my message board threw up some of the clips on YouTube. They're fucking funny, man.
You know what? No matter
so
of fact,
it's comedy?
Yeah, it's like comedy rap.
That makes sense because I think he did refer to him as Dirt Nasty in that first Charlie Sheen news stream.
They're fucking pretty good, man. It's funny stuff, man. I enjoyed it. Like, and the raps are pretty cool. It's like funny. It's just you just rapping about partying. But this Charlie Sheen thing is we saw our boy Kurt Fox do the Charlie Sheen thing.
He did do the Charlie Sheen thing, didn't he? What's that in Detroit?
He was the guy we know the guy who went up in Detroit and bombed and everybody was booing. We know that guy.
That's a tough go. How many people do you think were there?
And I didn't 2000? Feel bad for him. That's part of life, bro. You want to go out and do that? That's what you get.
Things happen, I guess. Huh?
That's what you're asking for.
C'est la vie.
You know, you're asking to be a part of the circus? Okay, someone's got to be the monkey, stupid.
I saw an article that says that Dennis Quaid wants to open for Charlie Sheen.
What?
That's a crazy tour. Dennis Quaid. But not Charlie.
Wants Dennis Quaid and do what?
Just be crazy, I guess. Just
Dennis
go out
Quaid,
there.
The actor?
Randy Quaid. Sorry, Dennis Quaid.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Please, sorry, Dennis.
Please, 1980. Not let that happen.
Pull up 1980, Dirt Nasty.
1980.
Yeah, pull it up on YouTube.
I hate that Randy Quaid guy.
Yeah, he's a legitimately fucked up.
But I like him in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation as Cousin Eddie. That's brilliant.
That's good.
You serious, Clark?
1980 Dirt Nasty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Barf.
It's good, man. You're going to like this.
1980.
Is this a rap video?
Yeah, it's a rap video, and it's... tell me when you're going to play it, because I want to play it in sync. Ready?
These are the chosen few. These are the selected youth. These are the ones that shine upon thine meridian with the fourth level of Gondor. I and the metaphysical visionary third.
He's in a studio right now for the folks, and he's like rapping this.
Intertwine my mind upon thine nine caliber. Russian roulette stamina. Tylenol flips the fast track of the anomaly. Stop. That's preposterous. My verbs are metaphors towards the.
Stop. Shut the fuck up, man. What's wrong with you?
Nothing, man. You know, I've been doing good. Quit smoking weed. You know, I've been doing some yoga, little Pilates, just getting more in tune with myself. You know, getting in touch with mind, spirit, and body.
You sound like a little bitch. Take a hit of this and kick that old dirt nasty shit about getting your dick sucked.
That sounds like Faison on Love.
Party friends.
I got a gold chain. I'm on cocaine. I'm like, yo, man.
He looks like the girl, that guy that was married to Jessica Simpson, Nick.
Oh, yeah, Nick Lachey.
Yeah. This is a good, I like this song, man. It's silly, but I like it.
Spread wide, G-string to the side. One drink, Cavassier. Two drink, Vodka Strike. Three drink, I'm in the sink.
Vodka Strike.
Throwing up on my brand new mint coat. And I'm doing coke. Y'all can't hold my donkey, bro. Now I'm on the boat.
I think this is funny, man.
You like D. I lived through the 80s and shit was crazy. Everybody wanna know my name. Bring the pain and pop the champagne. Every girl wanna hold my chain when I fucking brings out on the mark.
I got a gold chain, I'm on cocaine.
I think I've heard that before. Yeah.
I like it, man. I think it's funny.
It's funny.
I thought it was good.
Very Barry Sobel-esque BC Boys.
Yeah, like. Reminds me of John
LeJoy.
Yeah,
LeJoy.
I think John's better than that, though.
Yeah, John's hilarious. Yeah, John's got some great shit. I mean, I don't know how many other songs he's got, but yeah, this was his. This is his debut.
That's funny. I didn't even know he was doing that.
Yeah. I guess I need to start watching this Charlie Sheen shit.
Well, this guy, I don't know what he does with him. I don't know if he raps. What does he do? Does he do that?
I don't know if he goes on the road with him. I just remember he was on the very
totally
first
do this
Ustream.
Song. The song's hilarious.
That would.
You know, and have the video playing in the background.
And that would keep the crowd from booing.
Yeah, maybe they could close with it. You know? I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
He was in New York this weekend, right? I heard he did.
Charlie Sheen?
Yeah, he was in New York.
This is the Charlie Sheen report.
Yeah.
We're following him like he's fucking Bigfoot.
It's working.
Sheen in New York.
Working? What do you mean?
His whole mission, of, you know.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, well, he's doing something.
City to city, it seems to be getting different reviews, but this isn't new. This isn't now. A lot of celebrities are doing this thing, going on tour, not being comedians.
Like who else? Who else is doing that?
Or have little experience in comedy? Steve-O, he's selling out. He's headlining.
He's doing
everywhere.
Stand-up though, right? He's created an
but
act.
The thing is, I like him, and I'm friends with him, and that guy is actually taking the time to. He really likes comedy and wants to do it. Whereas he's just been given a lot early on because he's already famous.
Right.
You know,
right,
he's headlining clubs. But I think he's finding
the way
to fill it. Yeah, that's real hard to get thrown
in. Dude, that's how Charlie Murphy did it. Charlie Murphy was famous and then he was headlining.
Yeah, boom. You hit it hard because you're realizing being famous doesn't supplement no experience.
Dude, being an open micer in front of a giant group of people that's paid to see you. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's too much too soon.
Yeah, fuck yeah, it is. You know, but you know, it's Charlie's fault for just diving in there and wanting to be a headliner.
I saw that clip of him walking off the stage, tearing up the check, walking up. Well, fuck y'all, walking away. I see things like that, and I'm like, you know, I see like some the thing like with Kirk and all that, but then I see guys like Bill Burr who take an audience and turn it around.
Well, Bill Burr is a real veteran.
Yeah, and I can't say anybody like should be that good, but the thing is, it's like a real skill would be to now get them back on your side, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I mean, it's the hardest thing in the world.
And you're going to go to Detroit where it's already tough times there, and they took your money. That's why
And you got no show for them?
Yeah.
You're just kind of like taking
they're not going to take that shit in Detroit.
And he was like, this is an experiment. You know, like, I understand it's an experiment, but when you're fucking selling out giant auditoriums like that, like, you got to really know what the fuck you're saying.
Where does he go with this, though?
I don't think he can keep doing it. I think eventually people are going to like wear thin of it, and he's going to wear thin of it, too. Like, he wanted to be loved, and then all of a sudden, and half the places where he's going, he's getting booed and people are shitting on him, and
he's got the world's attention and nothing to say.
Yeah, and this is not, I mean, even if he does have something to say, like he did this one weird video where he talked into the camera and he all this shit that he wrote, it was like really like produced and written, and
that,
you know,
speech kind of gave
losing him, on,
and, you know, and he was talking like Hunter S. Thompson,
yes,
you know, in those
exactly
sentence fragments here,
and he was doing like, yeah, I mean, he even said he was like he held up his fucking, his, you know, the ticket for this thing. He was talking about the ticket. He was doing like a commercial for it. Buy the ticket, take the ride. I mean, yeah. He didn't like use the Hunter S. Thompson line.
Yeah.
You know, the whole idea behind it is very strange. This guy who's this huge, huge multi-millionaire super celebrity, and we are fascinated with him losing his job.
Yeah.
And he's trying to like campaign to get his job back, and we're paying money to see him talk.
Right. I heard it best described. A lady said, I read an article, it said, we're so fascinated with Charlie Sheen because a guy, how can a guy who has so much more than us have so much less than us?
that's a great way of putting it. That's
the best summation of that guy. He does. It's like, you know, he's loaded, but he's got no marbles. You know, I'll keep my marbles. That dude's gone. Yeah. And not good gone, marketable gone. Like I said, now you're trying to go the folk hero route. You're trying to go the Conan O'Brien route. But Conan O'Brien's beloved because he put that much work into being beloved. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Here's a perfect example. When he did his show,
right.
He would go on the road. He had a fucking show.
Yeah. And he's an entertainer. And the thing is, it's like now he's big enough, he can go straight to the people and say, you know what, fuck the network. Yeah. The people love me.
Sure.
But I've been doing this since 93 every single fucking night.
Right.
You know, Charlie Sheen just started this. It's right. Like, you know, it, good luck with that. I think he fizzles out.
If what's his name wanted to, if Conan O'Brien wanted to, he could do arenas all over the country, and he would be in Detroit one night and mm-hmm. do his show with no television whatsoever.
Yeah.
And hire comics and hire, you know, have people come on, have musicians play and do the Conan O'Brien show, like say a 90-minute show, and he could do it all over the country and make fucking ridiculous amounts of money.
And talk about a guy who had real grievances with the network, yeah. You know what I mean? And never really aired them in a distasteful way.
Yeah, though, well, that whole thing is so hard to fucking really figure out. I mean, because Jay Leno, they kept wanting to get rid of Jay Leno, and Jay Leno was number one. Like, why did
why would they want to get rid of
the whole thing was really ass-handed. The way they did it was so dumb. And really, Conan O'Brien was better in the later night.
I thought so, too.
But they should have done, I mean, everybody wants the Tonight Show, but I'll tell you what, the Conan O'Brien show was his fucking show, man.
It was his show, there was a whole culture behind it. And the thing is, it's like the Tonight Show, you almost need to be a lot more generic like Jay Leno to appeal to the masses. But there was a this is our thing when you watch Conan late. Night, you know
when
I mean?
I see someone wanting to leave their job and go to another job, you know, that's an early, I mean, I get the fact that more people are going to be watching earlier. I get that. But what it says to me is that guy didn't get enough respect. He didn't get enough appreciation from the network. They weren't like behind him enough in his eyes.
Oh, right.
He didn't feel equal. You know, he wanted that other job. That other job's the big job. I want the big job. Right. What about that big job?
Right.
You know, when you're fucking Conan O'Brien, man, what difference does it make if your show's on at 10 or if it's on at 11?
Yeah.
You're Conan O'Brien.
Especially
you know?
TiVo days. Yeah. No one even watches TV live
exactly.
anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're not. Some people are going to miss it because they're going to go to bed early. So fucking what? Plenty of people are going to watch it, all right?
Yeah.
Just be you. Just be you at 11.
Well, apparently over at TBS, they're like, if he gets ratings like this, he'll stay on
forever.
For life. And at TBS, you get 2 million ratings or 2 million viewers, you're a fucking hit.
But I went from being a big Conan fan to I've watched it once on TBS.
I haven't watched it. I didn't watch it when he did the Tonight Show. I haven't watched since he left New York.
Yeah.
And not that I'm against him. It's just that routine is gone.
Yeah.
Is it better now? Is it worse?
I don't think so. I think the reason why I don't watch is because the late night show is what I liked. I like that extra
masturbating bear. The writers were all funny on that show. Yeah. They'd come out and do sketches.
Doesn't he have the same writers?
I don't see those two guys. He used to use these two guys all the time. The Preparation H Raymond guy.
Right.
Who would come out and hand up Preparation
H. He's still around.
Is he?
Yeah,
he kind of looks like Ryan O'Neal, the comedian.
Yeah.
But, and then there was another one with that curly, like Simon and Garfunkel fro.
Yeah, I think they're both still around.
Like, those guys were like almost funnier than Conan to me. But there was that whole New York vibe that it just is missing to me. But I don't know.
You think the vibe is different because it's in Los Angeles?
It might be, but the thing is, I can't speak intelligently about it because I don't watch it. You know, I watched Conan from '93 to 2003 mostly because at first I was a teenager and then I lived in Hollywood. I didn't have cable at the time.
Right,
it was something to fall asleep.
There's definitely a different funny vibe on the East Coast than there is on the West Coast. I find even my sets are different on the East Coast than they are on the West Coast.
I find I have to explain less on the East Coast, and I can go off into more obscure references, and not in the way like super obscure, but in the way that everybody's following along, and I don't have to make sure somebody needs to catch up, you know?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's intelligent people everywhere, but there's more of them on the East Coast.
Sure. I mean, that's where all our finest institutions are, you know? It's no accident that all our best colleges are on the East Coast.
Our finest institutions.
Ah, yes, Harvard. So.
You should have a cigar. cigar in your hand when you say that.
Yeah, I did sound like a real asshole. I'm an ascot as well.
All of our finest institutions.
I've been really addicted to Kimmel too lately. I think when Conan left, I started watching Kimmel, and now I'm like, I don't know. Once you go Kimmel, you can't really go.
Yeah, his is a fun show.
He's got a fun zoo of a show too.
Yeah,
I did that show in like I think it was the second comedian on there, and I had heard like nightmare stories when they first started, how hard it was. Like the stage was catty-cornered to the audience. It was new. Nobody knew who he was. They're like, you're going to go out there and you're going to die, kid. Bobcat Goldthwait was the director at the time. And I was like, this is scary. And I went out and it went really good. And he's like, man, you're the best comic we've had on. I'm like, how many have you had on? He's like, one. I was like,
who was the other comic?
Yeah, and I don't even remember who the other comic was, but I don't think he was anybody, right. You know, because I wasn't anybody. So that's who they were picking out at the time. Wow. Like, I think Dave Rass saw me at the Improv on a Wednesday night doing the open mic. I was 23. He's like, hey, you want to do the Jimmy Kimmel show tonight? I'm like, I guess, sure, what's that?
Wow.
And then, and he got me on. So wherever Dave Rath is, I forever owe him my first TV break.
Yes,
Dave Rath. Dave Rath's a good man.
He's a very good guy. Very good guy.
He's one of those guys that's been around forever. The comedy business is such a weird fucking business, isn't it? I mean, we were talking about sleazy agents and managers, and you know, we were talking about what it's like to have one that sucks, and it's weird, you know?
It's a weird thing to... It's like, in this business, it's like you can have all this drive, but you have to... It's almost like being in a band. You need somebody else to champion that drive as well. Uh-huh. Like, I love music, but I never wanted to be in a band because I don't want to have to rely on the lazy bass player or the coked head drummer. You know, it's like, I want this thing to happen. And, you know, when you got a team working for you like that and they're not on board, you're like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's a reoccurring theme with comics. You got to make sure you got a manager that knows what the fuck is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a bad one, you get some idiot, or you get attached to one. I have a bunch of friends that started out with one manager, and then somewhere along the line, you know, this manager, when some critical decision was to be made, this manager fucked up, and they got rid of him, and they moved on and got some bigger manager. And then they got sued, and a bunch of stupid shit happened. I mean, you start off with one guy, and that guy turns out to suck. You know, you're attached to that fucking idiot.
Right.
You know, and he feels like he deserves a percentage of your profits.
Then it becomes like a marriage in a sort, and then you have to break up with this person.
Yeah, exactly.
Just such a nightmare. Like, I had been with my manager 6 years, and I had to break up. And she was very receptive and understanding about it. You know, and that made me think in my mind, like, oh, man, this it didn't go as bad as I thought it would. And then you start thinking, I should have done it sooner and all that. But it's just like, you know, whatever happens, happens. But you can't stay with somebody who doesn't have your best interest at heart, you know? It's
Is that usually because they have a better client now?
Yeah, they have a better client, bigger fish to fry. And you know what? I get it in this town. That's the truth. My agent, you know, represents like Jamie Foxx and all these people. If they turn it down, then maybe I'll get an audition for it.
They want to make sure that you're a real moneymaker before they put any interest and time into you.
Yeah.
You got to go out and... It's almost like they have you in the stable, and then you got to go out and make your own shit happen.
Yeah, call us and we'll take the 10% when you book something.
Yeah, and then they go, okay, now let's make you bigger.
Yeah, they start getting Christmas presents from Jews.
I mean, the best thing they can do is just get you in front of someone where you can perform.
Yeah,
you know, especially if you're out there trying to do the acting thing, man. What a crazy job that is. You gotta go in some fucking room and pretend that this guy that you're sitting there with a piece of paper in his hand, pretend that this is your brother and you guys are, you know, back at home and dad just got back from the war and he's a little shell-shocked. Really?
Yeah.
You gonna do this right here?
Yeah.
You gonna do this in this office?
I had an acting teacher like that who always wanted to, he's one of these super strange, it was the Meisner technique, you know, the real like method kind of stuff, and his whole goal was to make you cry. And he would be like, what happened if your mother got killed in a car accident?
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm like, that's Christ. Some awful shit to say, dude. Like, I'm not going to cry. I'm getting pissed at you, actually, for thinking that.
You need fucked up people for actors.
Yeah.
If you're going to have actors, you want to have real good ones, those people better be fucked up. Most of them. There's a few of them that aren't fucked up that are really good actors, but mostly few and far between. Most of them are a mess.
I bet you Daniel Day-Lewis is a lunatic.
He's got to be crazy. He's so good.
A lunatic.
He's so good. He's got to be completely out of his mind.
He's got to live on a farm somewhere in Scotland or something, man.
Think about how good that motherfucker is. Remember that movie where he played a boxer? That motherfucker became a boxer for like a year, trained every day like a boxer.
Yeah.
Like, you watch that movie, that is the best portrayal of a boxer in a movie where he looks like a real boxer, not some bullshit like Sylvester Stallone movie where it looks like he never threw a punch at a man in a competition in his life,
right?
Where he had to worry about being countered.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel Day-Lewis is hands up, moving, throwing feints. He looks like a real goddamn boxer.
Yeah, broken nose and all that.
He's a genius. He's a genius actor.
He comes out in the public like every 4 years, grabs an Oscar, and goes back home.
It's nuts. The guy's completely out of his mind. But he's amazing.
He is amazing.
You know, the fucking Gangs of New York. Oh, remember that? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
What was he? Bill the Butcher?
Bill the Butcher or something
like
that.
And There Will Be Blood. He was an absolute fucking Looney Tune.
Get the fuck out of here. Who can do that? Who can do that like him?
Nobody. And apparently he stays that way in his trailer, you know?
Yeah, there's a few guys. There's a few of those guys. Russell Crowe is fat as fuck now.
I haven't seen him lately.
Oh my goodness. There's a picture of him. He went on a bike ride and he stopped and he's got his like bike outfit on, his stupid little helmet, and he's smoking a cigarette, and he is fat as fuck.
That's funny.
Like, he's just gigantic fat.
It's been a couple of years since he has had a picture.
He was fat when he did Robin Hood, man. He had to cut weight to make Robin Hood, too. You can't have Robin Hood as a fat guy.
But he's one of those hard drinking, hard smoking actor dudes.
Yeah. He's a wild man.
Yeah.
He's a crazy fucker. That's why he's so good. I watched A Beautiful Mind on the way to Australia out of respect because I was going to Australia anyway.
Yeah.
And it was on the plane. It was one of those options. Forgot how fucking good that movie was.
What is that, 2000 Best Picture? 2001, I think, Best Picture.
I don't know, but it was fucking good.
Yeah, because Gladiator won 2000, and then that one won 2001. He was cleaning up at that time.
You know what I watched the other day that I forgot how fucking good it was? Contact.
Oh, yeah. I watched that recently on Netflix.
Dude, I put it on Twitter, and all these people are going, "How are you? Contact sucks."
Contact's awesome.
You're gay. Oh, well, you are gay.
Yeah, you're gay.
You are.
You're gay.
Like the letter U, the letter R. Gay.
Gay. Hello.
You're gay. Contact sucks. Yeah.
No, it's Contact's great. I watched that recently. I love that. Yeah, you know what? You know what's a horrible movie, but almost in that same idea. It's again with Dennis Quaid.
Hi guys.
And he's got the CB radio, and he's talking to the past.
What you're talking about, yeah.
Jim Caviezel plays his son.
Yeah.
And it's like that one guy. Word, like contact.
What happened
thing.
To that guy? He played fucking Jesus.
Christ, and he's gone.
And then he's gone. That doesn't even make sense. I mean, that guy should have been Gigantor. That movie was a huge movie.
It was huge, but it was one of those movies, I think, where the movie was huger than who was in it.
And here's another issue. The movie was very anti-Semitic.
Oh, yeah.
Very anti-Semitic. Right. I mean, that was argued, you know, whether or not that was historically accurate or I don't know what, whatever the fuck it is. You don't know. You weren't there. And the way it's depicted, it's depicted to me like the Jews were like a fucking huge problem.
Which is so
I don't know if it's. I mean, look, the whole thing I think is fiction in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
It seems to me that the whole story is so convoluted, and even if there was a man named Jesus, who knows what the fuck really went down.
But I just don't get why people will buy that and then not buy other things. It's like, no, world's not getting warmer. No way. No global warming here. But there's a story of this guy who came back from the dead. It's like, where are your priorities?
Yeah.
You know?
But Jim Caviezel playing him was really strange because, you know, he got really obsessed with it because he was 33 at the time, and Jesus was 33. His name is JC. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, how funny is it that this movie, this incredibly religious movie that made incredible amounts of money, was made by a psychopath.
Yeah, an absolute anti-Semitic psychopath.
In now that you look at it in the past, and you look at who he is now, and you hear those tapes, where he's, "You should just shut up and blow me." Just insane, red-eyed, spit flying out of his fucking mouth. I mean, he's off the deep end crazy. And he made the most successful religious movie of all time.
Privately funded it himself, right? And then had to turn that profit, too.
Yeah. He's and built made some compound. Incredible amounts of money because of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Never saw it.
You never saw Passion of the Christ?
Never saw it either.
I used to have a bit about it, that it was a two-hour movie about a dude with magic who got his ass kicked. And I go, that is the last movie with subtitles I'll ever see without Kung Fu in it.
Yeah. Wasn't that in Aramaic or something? Like, I remember that whole thing. Like, and people were coming out of theaters all moved and crying.
I don't know what the language was. It might have been Aramaic. I think that's what they spoke at the time, right?
That's what they spoke, and then they offered up the subtitles. But if I'm gonna watch subtitles, I'm like you. It's either Kung Fu or some Swedish weird film where people are gonna get killed.
Yeah, or some Japanese horror movie.
Yeah, Ringu.
Yeah,
you know, I'll watch Ringu.
Pandora's Labyrinth.
People want to believe, man. They want to believe, and they don't want you to take it away from them.
Netflix has just offered up for instant stream my favorite TV show of all time, The Twilight Zone.
Oh yeah,
1959 and 1964.
They just added a bunch of shit.
And I thought about you because the very first episode is an episode called "Where Is Everybody," where the man is undergoing a sensory deprivation experiment and losing his fucking mind doing it. And it's revealed at the end, obviously, that it's a military experiment. But that's that show,
spoiler alert,
could have helped. Huge. It aired in 59.
I gotta pee. I'll be right back. Yeah. I have something on the subject.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it aired in 59, so I figured, what the hell?
Yeah, there's certain shows like that that I love watching. One is that. Another thing is just like old, like Laurel and Hardy's and shit like that. I love fucking Netflix. I've become addicted to it.
Netflix has made me this documentary watching asshole. I'll watch one on like Belly Button Lint. I'll be like, did you see that?
Yeah,
on Belly Button Lint.
Have you noticed though? Like normal. The other day, I just realized that for cable TV, I forget how much I spend per month for cable TV, but I would think 95% of the content that I watch is Family Guy. I'll lay in bed, turn on Cartoon Network. Oh, Family Guy. Watch it for 3 hours. Go to bed.
Right.
But it's like amazing, like how much. I wish that we could get to a point of cable TV where we can a la carte.
A la carte. Yeah. They say they'll never do that though, because it's like. But cable is offering now, like I saw at my mom's, they had like on demand, like you can get HBO Premium, like one thing that aired on HBO. But I don't turn my TV on hardly ever.
Yeah.
I mean, hardly ever. I watch everything on my computer and my phone.
Same
now,
here.
You know what
Same
I mean? Here. And I get the updates, who's got the new documentaries coming on Netflix and all that stuff, you know. Right. And I'll watch the most boring of crap too. I don't care.
Yeah,
Source Code is a pretty fucking good movie, man.
Source Code.
It's the movie with Jake Gyllenhaal, the new movie.
Yeah, I heard
pretty
about
fucking
this.
Good movie, man.
Yeah.
It's about a guy. I don't want to tell you the whole story cuz I don't want to give it away, but it's really interesting and it involves time travel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's a pretty dope movie.
You know,
really
funny
well
enough,
handled.
He's revisiting his time traveling Donnie Darko. He was that was also a time traveler.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah.
And that's a very well regarded one too.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. This is very
Source
interesting.
Code.
I don't know if it's as good as Donnie Darko, but I don't remember because I haven't seen Donnie Darko in a long time. You know, movies like they become mythical. Like Donnie Darko is one of those
Memento
movies.
Memento was one of those movies.
Yeah. Memento was badass.
It was
man.
Badass. Guy Pearce.
But there's some
is
movies where they seem a lot better because they were a long time ago, and you go back and watch them and you go, this wasn't that good.
Yeah, that wasn't that good. Or I was just young and dumb.
I remember Donnie Darko being weird.
It was weird, but it does hold up. Have you ever seen Primer? That's the best time travel movie ever.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, that one is that you got to watch that one a few times.
Really independent movie, very small budget.
Considered like one of the best. I mean, you know, you talk Back to the Future. That's, you know, for layman's purposes, that works great.
Yeah,
they laid the rules for it. But Primer is one of those where they really adhere to the rules and the time, you know, the fabric of time and how you can't do this and you can, and you get sick and all that. Like the things. The nuances about actual time traveling that people have taken to study. Here's what would happen to your body if you did that, you know.
Time travel is the most fascinating subject of all to me. I think eventually it's going to be breached. It has to be.
That's the end of time.
Human beings are going to figure out everything. We figured out so much so far, and we are not going to stop. And as long as we stay alive, and they just found out that the caldera volcano under Yellowstone is way bigger than previously thought.
Oh, really?
This fucking giant super volcano that kills everybody. They just found out it's even bigger. Anyway, if something like that doesn't happen, people are going to continue to innovate. They're going to continue to make a faster phone, a faster computer, a car that doesn't need to be recharged for a month. It's going to be internet through the air at ridiculous broadband fiber optic speeds. It's all going to eventually come to a head.
Yeah.
It's going to come to that Ray Kurzweil singularity, that Terrence McKenna time wave zero point of infinite novelty.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, man. It has to.
It's a thing where it's like, you see more and more articles that talk about how, in theory, Einstein proved in theory it's absolutely possible. But now there's funding, private funding, but funding going towards actually taking this seriously. If we're going to take Christ and all that seriously, let's take this seriously.
Dude, it's just like the nuclear power issue. The nuclear power issue is something where they came up with something and they figured out how to do it and then they just went ahead and did it. Without having it completely worked out.
All right.
They went ahead and did it without having some, you know, agreed upon, you know, ability to shut it off.
Right.
Without having some agreed upon ability to store all the waste before we start producing it.
Sure.
They just started doing it. They just started doing it. And they're going to do that with everything, man.
But they did that with the space program, all that.
They
you know
did that.
I mean?
They do that with everything.
Yeah.
They do that. They're doing it with the Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah.
And they're out there, you know, smashing atoms, making that Higgs boson particle and creating little miniature black holes. They really are not exactly sure what's going to happen. They're taking some chances and sometimes things go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, and things are going wrong in Japan right now, and they're going to continue to go wrong and as well as go right. But no matter what, things are going to keep moving. They moved past the nuclear bombs of the 1940s to what we're capable of today, and that's going to be nothing compared to antimatter weapons that are they're coming up with right now.
Right.
They're coming up with some shit right
ray
now.
Ray guns, actual ray guns that
work.
Have
you seen the laser that they shot down? They did a demonstration recently where they a boat was a mile away, and they shot it with this laser and caused the engines to catch on fire from a mile away. Oh. You know, so they've got some crazy shit they're working on.
That's
right now.
That's pretty dope.
That's nothing compared to, I'm sure, a bunch of their shit. The drones are the scariest thing, man.
Yeah.
These fucking their ability to operate these little tiny machines that look like bugs.
You know,
they can get them little tiny ones and fly them around and fucking make videos of people and shit.
Dude, that's amazing. Have you seen? There's even a thing for the iPhone now. That little helicopter you can fly.
They've had their first friendly fire incident with drones as well. There was a thing today. I retweeted it. It's on my Twitter if you're interested. There's some drones killed some fucking people.
Really?
Killed some U.S. soldiers. Yeah. Yeah, it was off the Drudge Report.
They're flying drones in Japan too right now, aren't they? To get a look inside the reactors.
I would assume they would do something like that.
Watch
I mean,
one crash.
They're pretty accurate now. It's really scary shit, man.
It is scary.
You know what you retweeted that was even better than that though? Was
what?
Kitty kissing a dolphin.
Oh, that was the cutest thing ever.
I could watch that shit all day.
It was a cat and a dolphin being all snuggly with each other.
Aww.
It was the cutest thing ever, man.
I wonder if that's like one of the first times a dolphin has played with a cat.
That cat was a bad motherfucker. He didn't care. He's like hanging out over the water and he's not even tripping.
Yeah.
You know, cats can't fucking swim. They would freak out if they fell in that. That's instant death. Meanwhile, he's like, you know, dancing along the edge, doesn't care, making swats at the dolphin.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's really, fucking awesome.
It's very cute, especially for a guy like Brian. He loves them.
I want to fuck that dolphin.
He loves his little kitties.
Oh, you do have kitties. You have one of the smush faces.
I have too many kitties. I have two cats and a dog, and I'm so sick of it.
I retweeted this. The ASU adult film star did not get. She did not get kicked out. She didn't get suspended.
No? I mean, I was going to say, that's a pretty lenient campus there.
She did not get her scholarship revoked.
Right. It's not like, that's not, you know,
yeah.
Party school central there.
Right.
Yeah, they apparently it was, the whole thing is scripted, she says. I knew going in there it was for sex. She said she was paid $2,000 and assured the video would only appear on the part of the website people had to pay to see. That didn't happen. The video found its way onto free porn sites like
Of course. Well, she has no case or anything.
Yeah, of course.
Stupid. That, welcome to the internet. Hey, let me teach you about.
Yeah, the internet's this perpetual echo. Kind of it's there forever.
So I guess they just can let you. The school says, go ahead, do some porn. You can still have your scholarship.
I mean, half the people in school are in porn.
We're ASU.
It's amazing how porn is acceptable as long as it's an accident. You know, like Kim Kardashian. If Kim Kardashian got hired by Vivid and got gang fucked by 50 football players and then they shot loads in her mouth, then she'd be done. Nobody would want to have anything to do with her. But the fact that it was like her man and she was fucking him, and meanwhile, why is there so many cameras? What's going on here? Yeah. These cameras are from weird angles. Like, there's people in the room with you. Okay, what the fuck is going on, man?
There's cuts, there's one shots, two shots.
What kind of a video is this? You know, and what is it? You know, what the fuck was that like? But that, somehow or another, is acceptable. It's the most ridiculous hoax.
Not just acceptable, ever. It's fortuitous for them. It's a career builder. I mean, she's who she is because of that tape.
She's gigantic, dude. She's gigantic.
Yeah.
She's bigger than all of us combined.
Every business venture she gets into clocks G's.
That bitch is on billboards in Australia.
Yeah. But how about that? She was on Cosmo's cover of Turkey version yesterday. There's a big uproar because Turkey put her on the cover of the Turkish version of Cosmo. And, you know, Turks and Armenians, a little bad blood there.
Oh,
and,
really? And she's an Armenian.
And she's an Armenian. And she's gracing the cover of a Turkish publication. Not by her choice. Cosmo went and did it without her. But it was funny. A bunch of Armenians got pissed because Kobe Bryant did a spot for Turkish Airlines. It's like, he's got no horse in that race. You know what I mean? That I understand. He should do that. But her, it's like, yeah, that's a little weird. That's a little weird. It's a little weird. Be like Morty Salman wearing a swastika.
It's almost the way society is set up right now with like these teen mom shows and the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and this Kim Kardashian. It's almost like the scene in The Running Man when they have those ridiculous shows. You know?
Yeah.
You know?
That movie is so accurate. You're so right.
It's almost like it's getting to this weird sort of surreal point where it's like, wow, this is what everyone's fixated on and fascinated by. 16-year-olds that get knocked up have a TV show now.
Yeah.
yeah. and you see them scream at their boyfriend, get up, you fucking lazy fat piece of shit.
Beat the hell out of him.
Beeping, and everything's beeping, and the guy gets in the car, and he's taking the baby, and the girl's screaming in his face.
Big dude getting punched.
What the fuck are we watching?
And you wonder why people have lost their psychic abilities and all that shit.
I used to think that when I was doing Fear Factor. When I was doing Fear Factor, I was like, we are three seasons away from The Running Man.
Yeah.
We're like right here. We're right here.
And
we're on the door.
And they'll come. They'll line up.
We were doing Fear Factor. And, you know, everybody's like, well, you know, the shows like that, man, are designed by the government to keep you soft. And no. No, they're not. They're made by people because that's what people want to see. But even the people making them, it's not like they're the grand programmers of the universe and they've done this on purpose to try to lower people's standards. No, this is what you want to see, man.
Right.
You really do want to see some dumb shit.
It's a reflection of society. That's what they want.
It's a fascinating thing to be a part of, too, because when we were doing Fear Factor, while we were doing it, we were all going, are they really letting us do this? Like, it was, you know, we'd say, okay, we said we're going to blend rats. What did they say? They said, good, we got a green light. They got a green light on blending rats.
So fucked up.
What about drink your own piss? Nope, we just got a red light. You can't drink your own piss. Every now and then we get red lights.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
Okay, how about eat a buffalo dick?
I remember that.
Green light. Green light. Eat buffalo dicks.
I remember that.
We can eat buffalo dicks. Holy shit.
That's funny.
And we tell them it's buffalo dicks? Yes, you're allowed to tell them. How about balls? Yes, you can eat balls. Remember we had boiled balls?
Oh.
Giant bull testicles with the skin on them, all the veins around it. And you're like, whoa.
Did you ever get sick watching them do that stuff?
Oh, a bunch of times.
Yeah?
I never threw up on the set. I only threw up at home once.
Funny enough, I would watch that show with my nose plugged, thinking, like, just reflectively, I would literally watch like this because I'd feel like I'd catch a whiff of something.
You know, it wasn't the most fun thing to do, you know, because it was really fun sometimes, but other times it was fucking tedious as hell. But looking back on it, I'm like, wow, I was a part of some weird part of fucking television history.
One of the most unique shows ever. There's nothing before or after that's like it.
Oh, it was so strange to be a part of it.
I was at the 99 cent store the other day, and they're still selling, like, Fear Factor candy, like bugs.
That's got a show around the world still, right?
Yeah.
I get emails from people sometimes in other countries where it just started showing.
I just discovered Fear Factor.
Yeah, for real.
Thank you.
It just started. Started there. You know, their country just got it.
I know. There's countries who are just now getting, like, I guess apparently my sister's boyfriend is from Germany. He was saying, like, you know, they showed Knight Rider, you know, like now there, like, because David Hasselhoff, and they pride him, but they'll countries will get stuff that we are done with, like that wrapped in the 90s, that wrapped in the 80s, but they'll think it's new, and they'll dress accordingly.
Isn't it weird when a comic goes to another country and becomes big in that country?
Oh, yeah.
That's weird.
That is.
Right? When they're not big in America, but they go somewhere and they become big.
Yeah. That's real weird.
Strange, right?
That's real weird. Especially if it's if your native country, you can't seem to find. I mean, it's different with musicians. Hendrix did it. You know,
right.
A few other guys did.
Yeah, but they came to America, and America's always been at the top of the ice cream pile. That's where the cherry is. That's
still
the whole.
Is.
Yeah, I mean, it's still it's the grand, you know, the big stage, supposedly.
Right.
But for, like, a lot of comics, like, going to other countries, you become more successful.
Yeah.
You know, like, Arch Barker is gigantic in Australia, dude.
Is he?
Oh my God, dude. He's like Richard Pryor in Australia. No bullshit, man.
Wow.
He's fucking huge.
How did that happen? Is it his cartoon? Or?
I guess he went over there, kicked ass, went on a bunch of tours, did a bunch of tours over there, and they just love him. He lives there now. Apparently, he, like, you know, he got a house there, and he's like, fuck it.
Wow.
He comes on tour in America, but most of the time he spends in Australia, sells out, like, you know, fucking 20, 30 nights in a row at places.
I was wondering what happened to him, because it's like around the time, like, him, Dimitri Martin started getting a lot of attention, that seems like one kind of went the other way.
Well, he went to Australia and just started kicking ass.
Good for him.
He's like the biggest comic in Australia.
I think Pablo does pretty well worldwide, doesn't he?
He does huge in, like, Finland and
shit
like that.
Yeah, he's got some pockets of fans out there.
Well, he's so silly, too. You don't really have to be adept at the language to understand Pablo.
Well, that's the thing. The language barrier would, I think, certainly have to keep me in English-speaking-only nations, obviously, and even the most, you know, Americanized ones, because it's like,
well, a lot of Europe speaks English as well.
Yeah.
And if they come to your show, you know, I've done shows in Ireland, I've done shows, you know, I've done shows in a bunch of different, I never did Germany, but I've done them all throughout the UK.
Yeah.
And you get people that speak a gang of different languages and English.
Right. French,
know?
English, they speak it all. It just seems to me like, I watched a documentary where Eddie Izzard learned French to do a set in France.
Whoa.
That was pretty cool. And connected with them. Not as much as he would want to,
But he learned French. Now, growing up a Brit, he probably knew his fair share as it was.
Dude, Eddie Izzard's a bad motherfucker.
He's brilliant. That I used to think
he's just a silly man with a dress on. Like, when I first saw him, like, cross-dressing. I'm like, what is it? What kind of weird gimmick is that?
Yeah.
Then I saw him do this one show where he went on a marathon every day for, like, 30 fucking days or something crazy like that. It might have been even more than 30 days. Something nuts, man. This guy ran all the way around the UK.
Oh, wow.
Dude, it was ridiculous. And they filmed him and they followed him around with cameras. I mean, he got hurt, man. His feet were fucked up and he kept running. His legs would knot up. He could barely move. He could barely shuffle forward.
What was he kept doing going. It for?
Just, I forget. Some sort of charity thing?
Yeah. I watched a documentary on him and they talked about, they addressed the cross-dressing issue, but by the time you get done with the film, he's so fascinating. That's just a little side thing to the point where you don't even think of it anymore. You know what I mean?
He's a bad motherfucker. He's a really interesting dude.
It's a cross-dressing thing where it's like guy who smokes cigarettes. It's like, I kind of need to do it. You know? That's what he's literally like. I have to do it. He's not like, I'm not into dudes, nothing like that. I just really need to do this, you know, once a day. And I was just like, wow.
And that's what he would do when he would go on stage. Like, he was really like, he was into cross-dressing.
Right. He's just into cross-dressing. There's no.
So it wasn't a gimmick?
It's not a gimmick. There was no sexual thing. It was just some.
There's no thing. Sexual thing.
I mean, it's probably.
So he says.
He so he says, like, right.
When people know he likes
But to he did, he was so interesting, he made you forget that he dressed like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a bad motherfucker. Anybody can run a marathon every day, as many days as he did. It was a ridiculous documentary. I don't know why it didn't air in America, because NBC or someone should have picked it up, because it was really compelling.
It is interesting.
They should have aired it simultaneously. It was really compelling. I mean, if they had room for it anywhere, it would have done very well, because it was really gripping. I started it not thinking that I was going to get into it at all. I was like, who gives a fuck about some idiot running everywhere? You know, I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
You're going to run everywhere? But then I realized, like, how much he's pushing through this, and doing it in, like, great spirits and laughing. And, this guy's got a solid personality.
There's some documentaries you'll watch like that. I watched one recently called Still Bill. Have you heard of this one?
No.
It's a story of Bill Withers. He's a soul singer, kind of R&B guy from the 70s. Sang and wrote Lean On Me, No Sunshine When She's Gone.
Damn.
But this guy didn't pick up a guitar or sing or learn to do any of it till he was 32 years old.
Holy shit.
And you want to talk about natural ability. This guy picks it up when he's 32, writes Lean On Me, blows up, leaves the music business like 10 years after being in it, sometime around the late 70s, just had enough, and just collects his royalties. And mind you, makes a ton of money. He's the nicest, most decent person you ever saw. He's from Slab Fork, West Virginia, has this real country way of living, but lives up in the Hollywood Hills. But you talk to this guy, he's the most lovable guy in the world.
Of course, like, he doesn't have to do anything.
He doesn't have to do anything.
Smokes
but, you know, the whole thing is, people have been begging him to come do tracks, come back into the music industry for years. And at the end, I won't tell you what happens, somebody begs him to come back. And it's just like, it just shows this guy who...
Is it Chris Brown?
No, it's nothing like that. Thank God. I would have never had said that. I hate that guy.
I feel bad for him.
Who's that? Chris Brown?
Yeah, I feel bad for him being him.
Yeah, he hates being him. You can tell.
It's a hard person to be, man. He's a mess.
You can tell the guy has no... You can see it in his eyes.
So he came back and wrote a song and it was horrible.
Can't tell you.
Can't tell you that. You got to watch it. Still Bill. But it
Still
was,
Bill.
Still Bill. One of the best documentaries I've seen in... per Bobby Lee's recommendation, funny enough.
Wow.
And not funny enough, because sometimes he recommends really good stuff, but other times he recommends horrible
stuff. What's the worst thing he's ever recommended?
The What You Call It movie with... River Phoenix's brother.
I heard that was terrible.
It was awful. He thought it was brilliant.
Really?
It's fucking brilliant, he said.
It's
fucking brilliant. Fucking Bobby Lee, it's brilliant. It wasn't brilliant. A lot of his stuff, Bobby's into good shit. I forgot
you
do
impressions.
Bobby's into good, pretty good movies.
Can you do Bobby Lee? Can you do
I can do fucking Bobby Lee. That's what he is. Dude, I'm gonna fucking bomb Joe Rogan. I'm gonna fucking bomb.
Did they walk in?
Pretty close.
Yeah, close. That's as much as he
can. Can you do Jesse Ventura?
Jesse the Body Ventura.
That's
now
good.
It's Jesse the Mind Ventura.
That's pretty
I come
goddamn
on Joe
good.
Rogan's podcast to talk the truth.
Yeah, I think I got. I think
that's
I got
pretty goddamn good.
I've never done that before.
9-1-1 was an inside job. If you think the latter, you're the one who's misinformed, brother. You don't think that Rumsfeld knew what he was doing when he told those troops to stand down?
Oh, yeah.
Nitz almost sounds a little Sam Elliott in there, too.
A little bit, right?
Dodge Ram.
If you Does he get any Roadhouse quotes in you?
Show that man to the door. And if he doesn't go quietly, what does it use his fucking head? And buy yourself a Dodge Ram pickup with all the torque.
And you definitely know how to stretch his words out the way he stretches his words out.
Rocky, get on the bike, Rocky. Rocky Dennis.
What was that thing you did about iced tea and cocoa? What did you do recently?
Oh, it was for Sam Tripoli's show. Yeah, for Sam Tripoli's show.
Baby Bowl.
Baby Bowl. Yeah, we did a iced tea commercial with a cocoa, a great cocoa lookalike, by the way.
Maya, was that her name? Maya
Did James. She look just like cocoa for real?
She was built like her. She was an anomaly, like this huge ass, huge boobs, and this tiny waist. Now, granted, it was all sculpted that way, but it was still this anomaly. It was like, whoa. It was
ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
Sculpted was that way, funny. Meaning like operations.
Yeah, things. Operations up top. I've heard people seen that cocoa in real life said she's absolutely beautiful.
She is.
But we did the iced tea thing. We did the baby bull, man. That went over pretty well. And he saw it. Red Band tweeted it.
Yeah.
And Ice-T tweeted back.
Yeah. What did Ice-T say?
What did he say?
I said, hey, I made a video. What do you think about this? And he
went back. I'd say it's interesting.
Yeah.
I'd say it's interesting.
That's pretty goddamn good Ice-T. That's
like that Ice-T, man.
That's dead. That's 100%.
And I'm fighting off a cold from the past 3 days. Sometimes when I have a cold, my impressions get a little better. Like, I've never done that Ventura one before. I didn't know that.
Really? I didn't know if you could do it.
Do you do a good bro call? I love a good bro call.
Good evening. I'm Tom Brokaw. I mean, she's nightly news.
Oh, that's pretty fucking good.
Tonight, seems bombs are falling in Jalalabad. There's nothing Americans can do about it.
Did you know Tom Brokaw's a pothead, 24-hour-a-day pothead?
Is he really?
He's a prideful pothead.
That's why he must be like so paranoid.
Hey, I take bong rips on the daily.
I'm Tom Brokaw.
I only smoke indica. The sativa makes me not want to do my job. She's nightly news.
That's hilarious. That's so good.
Don Knotts.
He really does smoke Never pot. Where'd you hear this?
You know, I read it somewhere and I just ran with it. I didn't research it.
Okay,
I
was let's like, That's research cool. it.
What, you know what? Go to say Tom.
Tom Brokaw. Pothead.
How do you spell Brokaw?
Brokaw. That's Boy Roger Ocean.
Saw a Family Guy last night where there was a gang of bro calls. There's like 12 of them.
No,
like,
he said, never did it. Not interested. What never I did it. Was I experimented with a little marijuana.
I never
like exhaled. A lot of other people. You just made up some
God
shit.
God damn it,
son.
No,
somebody made it up and I wanted to believe it. Okay,
I'll give you a believe it too. I wish I didn't Google it.
Well, Google it again. Who else? Who's confirming this? Is there some clearinghouse of whether a celebrity is a pothead or not?
Mm. Hey, bro call, if you're listening,
Huffington Post.
Give us a tweet.
I've been working on a John Lithgow as well. My girlfriend doesn't like it, but I do.
Dude,
actually, she does like it. Hello, Dexter.
Can you
Morgan.
Do women? Can you do Nancy Grace? She's my favorite.
Nancy Grace, this is a real problem.
Dead babies in Florida. We are live right now.
Homie.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good march. Was that a march?
The other one that you do that's amazing is...
Morgan Freeman, isn't it?
Morgan Freeman. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Andy Dufresne. Mm-hmm. Andy Dufresne gave me hand jobs those last few nights.
Talk about your penis, Morgan.
My penis hangs down to my kneecaps. And I'm wearing Knickerbocker shorts, you can tell. Sure,
why not?
I like to do lean on me quotes. What you got in that locker, son? My future. All right, now. And then I take quotes from Lean On Me and I change them around. Like in Lean On Me, there's this kid he keeps hassling because this kid's like, yo, Mr. Clark, man, I'm going to move away, man. I'm going to go make money. He's like, you'll be dead in a year, son. He's like, no, man, I'm going to go work for my uncle. But you're dead in a year. So me and a buddy would take it and be like, yo, Mr. Clark, I got accepted to Harvard, man. You'll be dead in a year, son. No, I'm going to Harvard in Cambridge. You'll be dead in a year, son. Well, fuck you then, Clark.
Joe did a Ice Cube thing the other day, and we were in the green room, baked as hell, and we saw this commercial for a sitcom for Ice Cube's new sitcom.
Are we there yet?
Yeah, that's like, damn, why you kids making all this noise?
I pick up little Chris and put him on the porch.
Yeah, our Ice Cube's terrible.
It's hard.
That's terrible.
I saw him in concert recently.
Damn, kids. You saw him in concert?
Yeah.
What was he doing?
Caparillo bought me the ticket. We went to go see him, and he didn't do anything off Death Certificate, the album I grew up loving. That album changed my life.
He's probably not allowed to.
What did he do?
Fresh out of school, because I was a high school grad. So there's a little Ice Cube. I got it there.
What did he do?
Stuff from post-98. I hadn't listened to anything Ice Cube since 95.
Yeah, so it's all new shit that you hadn't heard?
I guess he still makes new shit. And then he brought his son out. Like, I want to hear his son's trials and tribulations.
I heard his son was pretty good, though.
His son, he has two sons. One looks just like him from 1987.
Really?
The thing is, it's like, that's the thing with second-generation hip-hop. Dude, you better come seriously correct, because hip-hop's born in poverty and thrives in struggle.
Right.
And second-generation hip-hop, I don't mind a rich rapper who became rich on his own, but the second-generation thing, you know?
It's hard.
Harvard, Westlake, till I die, homie. You know, it doesn't...
Yeah, I'm sure he still had to grow up having Ice Cube as a father. Which
Ice Cube got
fucked up.
All right, Ice Cube, I'll tell you this. At the age of 17, moved to Arizona, went to a trade school, and studied architecture before founding NWA.
Are you serious?
Can check on that.
Wow.
O'Shea Jackson.
his name is.
Wow. So how? What is this kid? This kid goes up and rap?
Comes up and raps about hard times, Joe Rogan.
I heard he's
good.
Does
he rap about hard times?
Hard times, Joe Rogan.
I heard he's good, though. I heard he was good.
He was good. He's got that booming voice like Ice Cube has.
What does he say about the hard times?
I don't even remember. I just wanted to leave so bad by the time it was over. It was at the House of Blues. You know the last time I was at the House of Blues? I saw you there, and you ran into me because we went to Chewy's show.
Yeah.
Why we did that, I don't know.
That was great.
But it was 2001, maybe, something like that. And we got a Chewy show.
Chewy was good, dude. Chewy was good.
Hey, I'm going to the House of Blues, bro. You gotta come.
Dude, he's a crazy guy, and as a bouncer, he wasn't your favorite guy.
Yeah.
But as a band member, that was pretty dope.
He could jam.
He was good, man. It was weird. I was like, Chewy was the doorman at the Comedy Store like fucking forever.
Yeah.
But he was a nice, I mean, he had to like you to be a nice guy.
Yeah, he liked me, luckily. Thank God. Yeah. I've seen when
if he didn't like you, it became a real problem. But he always liked me. And I even introduced him one time. I introduced him one time at the House of Blues.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, they're fucking good, man.
Yeah, he's real good.
What did Chewy Castro, and what was the band called?
Chewy and the, I don't know, I remember their song, Hey Chewy.
It was weird. Yeah. Hey, Chewy.
Hey, Rick James is going to play with me, bro.
Yeah.
Remember that? Rick James used to come jam with him.
Rick James used to go on stage with Chewy. Really? And this was back before Rick James was like immortalized by Dave Chappelle.
Oh, yeah. This was 2000, 2001.
Yeah. Rick James was like, you know, people like didn't care that much that he was there. After the Dave Chappelle sketches, if he went on stage, they would have gone crazy.
Right.
But this was, I mean, obviously he was dead, you know, but this was 2001 or so he would go on.
Yeah.
Dude, Chewy's band, it was real weird to know someone from work and then, you know, they say, hey, will you come see my band? I'm like, okay.
Here we go.
But, you know, I mean, you didn't really expect Chewy much.
Castro and like the notes. I forget
what the fuck they were.
Yeah, somebody can find that. Chewy Castro.
He was also the bad guy in James Bond, right?
Chewy Castro?
Yep, he dressed up like that guy, that one guy that always wore the suit. They always took the hat off.
And cut your head off with his hat.
He's dressed like that, or like somebody from A Clockwork Orange, or somebody who works at Umami Burger.
Cut your head off with his hat. Remember, he would like hit sculptures and shit and knock arms off and stuff. Yeah. This fucking stupid hat.
I bet Chewy could do that. Well, Chewy also had a side job there. I forget what it was.
Great Lebowski.
How many interesting people have you met out of the goddamn Comedy Store? That is like a whirlpool that sucks all the weirdos right to it.
It's the Overlook Hotel from The Shining, man. It's just it's a vortex for the weirdos. And have you ever met Mickey? Mickey. Yeah. It's a guy who's literally so funny to watch because he's so crazy, but he's the most like... It's funny to watch somebody interact with him, like a customer will come. He's just some dude who hangs out there. But they're like, is there bathrooms here? He's like, yeah. Like the most difficult person you could ever run into if you just want basic information.
Is this a new guy?
No, he's been there since the
70s. The guy with the tinted glasses?
Tinted glasses, mustache.
Since the 70s?
Since the 70s. Been hanging out there. Apparently he's a trust fund guy. He's a mystery.
He's a ding-dong guy, isn't he?
I think he was a ding-dong guy for a little while. But
I tried to avoid that. Don Barris freaked me out with all those people he'd bring around.
There were some amazing characters in that stuff, though. That Mickey's one of them.
Is there no greater master of nuts than Don Barris?
Don's the best.
Don is the ringleader.
We just had him on Death Squad, man. He was talking about the old days when the Comedy Store was in a basement of a restaurant.
Oh, that was the Westwood version?
Yeah, Westwood?
Yeah, that was the where Kinison used to rock out of.
Yeah, he was talking about Kinison, how there was a bullet hole. I didn't know this, in the belly room.
Yeah.
And
the sign of the belly room.
Yeah.
He pulled out, I think it was about him and Dice being mad at each other.
Wow.
Kinison pulled out a gun and shot a fucking sign.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy. That's
craziness. It's a pretty interesting podcast.
Yeah.
That's who else is a great ruler of the crazies is Rick Ingram. They always worship him. It's so funny. How he's got that power up. And the crazier they are, the more they confide in him, which is so funny because he's the most cynical motherfucker on earth. You know what I mean? He just makes fun of them right to their face. They're like, I love you, Rick. You're always good to me. It's like, no, you're not.
Weird people in Hollywood trying to be seen, trying to be heard, trying to be found. Find me.
Yeah.
What a weird, creepy place to live.
Well,
do you ever think you're ever moving out of here, or are you going to stay here forever?
If I did, I'd move to New York, basically. I could live in New York. I could live in L.A. But I want to have a somewhere in Montana, and I want to go fly fishing and just be left the hell alone.
That's what I'm talking about, dog.
Fishing. I go fishing often.
We keep saying this, man. Let's go.
Dude,
this is a good time,
fish.
Too. It's a spring.
Let's go fishing. You know?
We were in Portland. We should have stayed an extra day and went salmon fishing.
Catalina Island, is there fishing there?
Yeah. It's ocean, though. It's different.
Dude, have you ever watched The Urban Fisherman? This guy will show you where to fish in your city, dude. I'm a huge fisherman.
Oh, I saw that show. What is that
Urban
on?
Fisherman, this guy.
He's on the hunting shows?
It's a fishing... No, it's actually like on travel, I think. And it's that guy
guy's Iaconelli Ross or somebody, Iaconelli or something, his last name is, and he does urban fishing. He'll catch fish in the Hudson River. He'll catch fish, you
know. Does he eat them?
No, he doesn't eat them. He's a sport fisherman, so he tosses them all back. But he'll show you, if you live in a big city, you can still find great fishing. I fish 3 times a month.
You know what would be cool?
Do you really?
Yeah,
absolutely. Where do you go?
Let's talk
about it. I go to Arizona a lot. I go fly fishing. I go bass fishing. Me and my buddy Scotty G, we do the bass fishing at Dobson Ranch Park, dude. Just throw them all day. I caught a catfish at night waiting for my breaks to be done. I was like, I'm going to go next door, catch a catfish, come back. Dude, I got an emergency pole in
the car.
Where
was this? This was in
Arizona.
In Arizona, but not out here. You don't
do fishing. I do it out here, too.
Where do you go fishing out here?
You can go to the Santa Monica Pier and fish without a license. You can fish,
really?
Fish anywhere, yeah.
In the ocean, you can fish without a license,
without
right?
a license on the Santa Monica Pier, you can fish, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How come?
I think it's kind of no man's land. They can't really govern it. You don't really need... I don't even think you need a license to ocean fish at all.
Huh. Yeah, I think you don't. I think it's freshwater that you need to.
Yeah, it's freshwater, and it's all like it's all that urban stuff. You have to get that local urban license, and then you have to get the lake license. But I fish any chance I get. It's so much like comedy. It's a patience game. It's fun. And when you get good at it, you get. I'm not good at it. I just do it a lot, but I'm getting better.
I used to fish all the time when I was living in Jamaica Plain. I used to go to Jamaica Pond and catch big ass fucking rainbow trout.
Oh yeah,
yeah. We'd catch a lot of fish there, man. And there was a lake. Massachusetts is great because there was a lot of different places to fish when I was a kid. But there was a lake near my house in Newton. I caught a 3-pound bass in this little tiny ass pond. It's a big ass fucking bass just dominating shit in this pond.
I think shrooming and fishing would sound so good together. Just hanging out.
I'd get freaked out by my own bait. And I use lures. I'd have a top water hook. I'd be afraid of it. You know what I mean? And I've gotten into lures now. Like as a kid, I was always live bait. But now I'm into lures, the sport, the art of fishing. And I got into fly fishing recently. That's some cool shit, dude.
I am
no good at it, but catching, it's so awesome.
I used to love catching bass on floating Rapalas.
Oh, yeah.
I'd cast them out there and just twitch it a little bit, like a little fish that's fucked up.
Bass are like torpedoes.
And they nailed that fucking thing. Like, they could not hit it.
Dude, you want to catch bass, too? Spoons. That's the best way. Spoons. Those silver things. They look like dying minnows against the stream.
But that was the coolest thing about fishing when I was a kid. You never knew what the fuck they wanted that day.
Yeah.
One day it was plastic worms. The next day it was spinner baits. It was all different things to catch them with.
Or they were smarter and wiser to somebody.
You'd be fishing with somebody like, what did he use? And he caught something, and you'd lose all confidence in what you had. Like, God damn it, I need to get one of those.
We go to this place, my buddy, one of the places I go. My mom lives next door to a lake, just one of these community lakes. I go fish there, pull catfish out of there. I go to my buddy, Scotty William, lives on Dobson Ranch. It's like 4 feet deep, this water. We take his dad's pontoon, smoke bowls, and fucking fish the whole time. Like, just smoking bowls and fishing.
That sounds fun.
And in the sun, too. It's the best time, man. I like fishing has given me in my 30s this whole new... It exercises the patience. Like, I've got a lot more patience now.
There's something visceral about hooking a big fish, too, man. Mm. You know, it's like there's something that just goes, it charges up some caveman instinct.
You
cheated
nature. You won that day. Yeah. You know, you won that day. And I've been places where it's like, you know, there's big whales swimming, but they're not biting nothing. But then there's other nights where it's like, you know, I was at my mom's house when I said, I'm going to catch a fucking fish right now, and I'm taking hot dog with me. That's how pathetic this is. But I know the catfish, they're fucking lake roaches. They'll eat anything.
Yeah.
Or I chum the water with a little corn. Sure enough, 2 seconds later, I had a bite on that hot dog.
I used to use chicken liver. Used to buy chicken liver at a store near my grandfather's. He used to take me in Newark, New Jersey. He used to take me to some fucking lake, and we'd go fishing like late at night. It was so shifty back then, too. It was like so dangerous. I'm here with my old grandfather, and it's late at night, because that's when we'd catch the catfish.
Yeah.
So he took me to some creepy-ass neighborhood late at night to catch fish.
Yeah.
You know? Casting out liver into this lake, I pulled a 10-pound channel catfish out.
Oh wow! All brown and like a mud catfish.
It's crazy, man.
I do that. I go fishing anywhere. I think you might be able to go to Echo Park. I don't know if anybody's pulling anything out of there.
There's that little pond over here in Calabasas down. You know, it's like in the middle of...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
Toluca Lake.
I think there's nothing in there. There's another place. There's a lake. Shit, I forgot the name of it. Lake Arrowhead? No. That's the place. Lake Arrowhead is Big Bear, right?
Yeah, that's one of the big ones. Like, are you talking
those places? Like, imagine living like right there, like right on the lake, like at Big Bear or Lake Arrowhead. That would be so dope.
And it's not just the fishing. Like, I don't go and get upset if I don't catch. Like, it's being out there. It's the smell. It's the stillness.
Yeah. I want to go canoeing. Do you guys ever used to go canoeing?
Canoeing seems ridiculous.
What? That's so fun, man. Going into
a lake? Yes. Yeah. I'm not into some white water rafting.
No, I'm not talking about white water
rafting. I go fishing out of a canoe. I'd go do that. But I usually just wade.
I like where they drop you off in the car, and you go for, like, I don't know, like 3 hours, and then there's a pickup point near the end. It's just this huge journey.
Where did you go?
Ohio, it's all over. There's like
four. Like Kevin Bacon in Whitewater Summer?
Yeah. But it used to be so fun. It wasn't whitewater rafting, but there was parts where it was like, oh, here's some rapids.
Sure.
But the whole thing was buying a shitload of beer and drinking.
Dude, we should go.
Being on a boat in a lake is the shit.
It's the best.
Just chilling, relaxing, floating on that boat, defying nature by being out there in the first place.
It's so awesome. I do ocean fishing once a year with my dad, and we'll go off Ensenada, and we'll do a day trip. And that's fun because that's hardcore sport fishing. You're pulling out marlin, tuna, you know, you name it, mackerel, 50 pounds. Like, you're worn out by the end of the day. But lately, I've gone back to the freshwater fishing of just chilling out there, making some dogs. I get really nasty when people come to try to talk. Oh, they bite. Back off. I'm out here alone.
Whoa.
You know, yeah, that's how I am. Seriously, beat it, bro. I didn't come.
Yeah, it is annoying when someone won't stop talking to
you. I don't mind the common fishing questions. Hey, how they bite and what are you using? Then beat it. But not like, don't drop a chair, bro. I left the city to get away from you.
Some people would just sit in and talk to you. Yeah, my girlfriend, she's all mad at me.
Yeah, don't give a fuck, bro. I hope you have face aids. Let me fish.
Ocean fishing is pretty dope, but there's something about like still water. Yeah. Like when you, especially with like a top water lure or a fly, and you cast a fly on still water and just give it a little twitch, and that trout comes up and blasts it, and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, I love that shit. Yeah. We should go, man. Let's go fishing.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I've been wanting to go hunting for a long time, and I'd set it on my message board. All these fucking hippies. Vegan, fucking weirdo hippie dudes wigged out. You'd never go hunting?
No.
You would if you had to eat.
If I had to eat, but I don't want to go.
If you were living on a ranch and there were some fucking animals running around. If you do it, just do
it
right.
Don't be a dick hunter. Hunt and field dress it and use every part of it.
I'll hunt birds. Yeah. I'll do the bird shit, hunting ducks and shit. Fuck that. But
I used to hunt as a kid. I used to shoot things. I just got sick of it. I saw a rabbit out in your front yard. My mind was like, where's my Red Ryder baby? I got to blast him. But I was like,
did you eat them? You ate
I used to eat them. Yeah, you said.
How good is a rabbit?
Pretty gamey, pretty lean, you know. If you figure it's like venison when you eat that kind of stuff. Any kind of fast-moving animal is always going to be very tough. You know, if you
do you have to make a stew or something like that? Like,
that's we marinated for about 3 or 4 days and then ended up, making like a stew.
3 or 4 days?
Yeah.
God really damn. Let
it sit in there. You can just throw the bunny in the crock pot and turn it on.
Field dress it, throw it right in there in the fridge and let it sit in that. So it was jackrabbit.
This same subject came up yesterday when I was on the Adam Carolla show. We were talking about, you know, cooking your own food and hunting and gathering your own food and how some people are so opposed to it, even though they eat meat.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
We're so weird as human beings. We're in this weird stage of, you know, getting past being an animal and all the shit that's connected to being an animal, like, you know, killing food and, you know, and causing suffering in order so that you survive.
Right.
We've so separated ourselves from all that shit. It's like we've become some weird thing outside of nature, you know, that connects to nature. We have like agents that do the nature thing for us.
That's true.
You know, it's very strange.
You see all these now, these documentaries on exposing how your meat is made. I've watched every one of them. And it's just like, wow, okay, but I still going to eat meat because I get it, but I won't eat that kind of meat. Like, now I get the whole purpose of going to a ranch and buying fresh farm shit.
I ate Taco Bell the other day, and I knew that study that it's not even meat, but I still ate it.
Yeah. What is it? What is it? Fillers?
They said it's fillers.
Fiberglass and cardboard or something.
You know, the thing is, it's like, I don't eat the fast food, but it's like, I would be a hunter if I lived out in Montana, and I would field dress it and use every part the right way, like a real hunter does. I have nothing against that.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not doing drive-bys on fucking deer and just leaving them out there.
Well, the thing is,
you use it right, I'm all for it.
You really do have to kill them, and people need to wrap their heads around that, because otherwise you're going to have a massive amount of predators and starvation.
Hunting keeps the population. Go to West Virginia, go to these places where they're like, fuck deer.
Yeah.
Fuck deer. Yeah. You know, they wait for hunting season to come.
Yeah. Well, in Colorado, man, you have to be careful everywhere you drive, especially when in Boulder, because in Boulder, no one shoots them, and they're in the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you're in a town, so no one's shooting these deer. So they're fucking everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And everywhere you go, you got to make sure some asshole deer doesn't jump out in front of the road and slam into your car.
You ever been to Alaska? Had that happen with the moose there?
No, I heard that's going to be crazy.
Oh, my God. Man. I saw moose everywhere, and it's like, sure enough, one was standing in the road when we were leaving to go to the airport.
Are they dangerous?
Well, they're dangerous. They're not. They won't attack you, but they're so tall that their knees are at your basically top of your car. So when you hit them, you're going to bring this. You know, 2,000 pounds is going to come rushing right near your windshield. They're perfectly set up to come in and kill you. Wow. And that's what happens is they come in and you hit them and they fall into the cab of your car.
You just get crushed. They're enormous, man. It's like before the elephant falling on you.
Yeah, yeah. They're massive animals. I mean, they're territorial. They'll come after you if they have to. But they're like deer. A deer will fuck you up if it has to. But 9 times out of 10, it'll just bail.
Yeah. Do they have like special bumpers that they put on trucks and shit out there to make sure that they jack those elk?
Same idea as like a deer guard, but raised up. You know, like the T-guards on the back of a semi. I think same idea, but on the top of your thing.
Do they have deer guards?
They do. A lot of deer guards.
Really?
A lot of people. Dude, Alaska, have you been there?
No.
That was a fascinating place, man. It must be a very fascinating place.
You comedy there sometime.
I would love to, but Doug Stanhope decided that the people were too stupid there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's all you need to know. If Doug will do any goddamn crowd.
And right? Said no
Doug will pull up into a bar. There's not a chair to be found in a half a mile radius.
Right.
Everyone's standing, pissed drunk, and Doug will be up there, you know, no one wants to fuck your kid on MySpace. Literally going through his act, and he's got no problem, and right. He stopped going to Alaska. I don't know what the exact details were, but he used to go there and party all the time.
I went
and
once.
Just decided, enough.
Per Luca Polanca and Wheels Parisi were doing that gig.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. This was probably 6-7 years ago, but it was a great gig, paid good. And
I'm sure there's a lot of cool people in Alaska, don't get me wrong. I met cool people from Alaska.
It was strange, but bro.
The number of knuckleheads.
It was strange. It was a very strange place. It was cool, like a lot of cool stuff to do. They're all like excited to tell you that they all know how to fly planes. They're all, you know, they eat moose jerky. They do all this crazy shit. But then they do really crazy shit like sniff Oxycontin and look at you like you're the weirdo when you don't. You know,
really?
Yeah, like that kind of shit. Like
a lot of pill heads up there.
A lot of pill heads. It's very northern exposure.
What's that?
It's probably nothing to do there.
Yeah,
hunt and fuck and wasn't like the mother-in-law of Bristol Palin's baby daddy? Wasn't she in busted for selling meth?
Probably.
Yeah,
probably.
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, just say
yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. You know, Wasilla.
Yeah.
You know that crazy bitch.
I played pool with her husband. Sarah Palin's husband, who was friends with the guy who owned the radio station we did in Anchorage, Bob was friends with him.
And you played pool with him.
Played pool with him, but I didn't know it till years later. This was 6-7 years ago.
Did he seem like he was gay?
It didn't seem like anything because he didn't matter to me. He still had the same kind of like goatee and hair, you know, that looked very suspicious. You know, like the look that he rocks. Whatever.
Do you think his look was like, by the way you say suspicious, you mean like disingenuous?
He looks very mid-90s, very out of place for the year 2006 off. As it was. Yeah.
Off,
yeah.
Right?
I was like, either he's a time traveler or out of style.
What do you, are you the type of guy that like when you see a powerful woman with some guy behind her who's not really talking that much, do you just automatically assume that he's a bitch?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. And not to be a pig or nothing, but yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
When I see a really powerful woman, I want to see what's this guy like. Is he more powerful or is he less?
Well, see, Stedman might be more powerful.
What?
Oprah's man. What do you think?
What the fuck are you talking about?
I think isn't he pretty rich?
Is he?
On his own, yeah. He's pretty.
He can't be rich like Oprah rich.
I don't think nobody's Oprah rich.
Oh, I'm so glad we got to talk about Oprah.
Oh, why? Yeah?
Why?
We talked about kitties, now we can talk about Oprah.
I just love it when Joe talks Oprah.
I watch the Oprah show sometimes.
Do you?
He subscribes to O.
Do you like her?
No. Yeah, I think she's interesting.
I don't think she's a bad person.
She's a good person. She's spreading positive energy, and she's an easy target.
Would people you bang like her, Joe Rogan?
No.
Her or Ellen?
Her or Ellen? Who'd I bang?
Mm-hmm.
I'd bang Oprah, I think.
Oprah?
Well, yeah, because
billion dollar pussy.
She would probably like it.
It's $1 billion.
Whereas Ellen would probably be angry at me. I mean, that is assuming that Oprah is truly homosexual, yeah, heterosexual, rather.
That would be hot, though. Like, you know, Ellen's like, I don't want this dick. And like, ew, fuck, you're taking this dick.
Not me. You got a different thing that turns you on, buddy. Any chick that, well, you know, there's two types of lesbians. There's lesbians by genetics or lesbians by circumstance. And lesbians by life, you know, lesbians by abusive men. And those are the scary ones. Right. Not scary, but sad. I should say sad.
Wow.
You know, I've met a lot of girls that, they just met so many fucking asshole men from their father all the way down to every fucking guy they've ever attracted. And they're just like, fuck, man, I need accompaniment. I need, my girl's always been there for me. And you hug this girl, next thing you know, you're a lesbian.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I think women are much more open to the idea of experimenting, and you know, and then maybe they find that they like women better, and it's something that most straight men would never do.
It's open. I mean, even if you're a girl, you'd have to admit that, you know, puss is spectacular looking. And boobs,
yeah, and there's rubber dicks. I'm sure they, you know, they're happy with that. Just dip it in water, hot water, make it warm, shove it in there. I think it's a real dick.
Is it gay to show another guy how much sperm that they made today?
Yes.
Like a pitcher.
Don't
like
show pitcher. Dudes your loads. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Unless they're in the business. Click, click.
All right.
Air quotes.
Never mind then.
Do you send loads?
No, I took a picture today's one because I didn't have sex yesterday, and I just to show how much came out today.
And you want to show one of your friends your loads?
No, I showed it to my girlfriend, and she was like, wow, that's crazy. And it is crazy. And I was going to
show you. Like a couple
times. Wait, you showed it to her because you jerked off on your own? Is that what it is?
Oh, well, okay. She was at work. And I was like, I was like, hey, fellas, I was going to show you, but. That's gay, right? That's gay. It's like that's worse than showing your poop, right?
You need to go to a doctor.
But it's just like coming out of your body. Just like is it gay because it's cum?
It's weird.
Don't show me pictures of your shit either, unless they're spectacularly huge.
Well, I had a wraparound.
This is a huge amount of cum. Like it's surprising.
Okay. You eating a lot of egg whites or something?
I don't know.
Eating healthy?
I don't know.
Taking zinc?
No.
Any supplements?
Sushi.
Sushi. The sushi will do it. There's a lot of zinc. Yeah. A lot of heavy metals as well. I'll be careful. I believe they drove Jeremy Mercury. Piven crazy. Right? Didn't he have to get out of some sort of a show because of that?
What's
he
that?
Had, right. Mercury overdose? It's fucking real shit, man. I used to eat anchovies every week. I used to eat 5-6 cans of anchovies. And then I got my blood work done. And the doctor said there's arsenic in my blood. Not much, but a little bit.
Right.
And I go, what the fuck? Someone trying to poison me? And he's like, no, it's a heavy metal. Have you been eating a lot of seafood? And I said, yeah, I eat a lot of sardines. It's like, don't eat the sardines for a while. We'll do another test. And I'm clean. It's arsenic.
Wow. You
get arsenic from
tuna's sardines. Like that too, right?
Yeah, that's all the oceans are so goddamn polluted, man.
Yeah.
There's that gigantic patch of garbage that's floating somewhere in the middle of the Pacific.
Oh, yeah.
There's not just one. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And it's underwater. It's not just on the surface. There's like a fuckload of it underwater. And they're enormous now. They're almost the exact size of the United States.
Yeah. It's inhabitable. I mean,
that's crazy. It used to be the size of Texas. And the latest one, they said it was almost the size of the United States.
That's ridiculous.
It's insane. It's the scariest thing ever.
Yeah.
And you know what? All this shit that came from fucking Tokyo is all added to that too, by the way. Yeah. Or from Japan, rather.
Oh, yeah.
All that shit that got washed away in the earth, in the earthquake, the tsunami, that stuff's out at sea. I mean, there's a lot of fucking debris out at sea. They're finding houses, actual full houses, floating in the ocean.
Oh, I'm sure. And way out there, too.
Oh, yeah, way out there.
And they've had, what, 3-7 pluses in...
It's so crazy that someone decided to put a goddamn series of nuclear reactors on fault lines. Like, it's almost
on
like...
On fault lines on an island.
People are so silly. It's like the Earth could move, but then again, it might not.
It's man's, you know. It's when people start to say this God stuff, and they start to be like, "Look at the," and you know, it's like, "No, there is no God. It's just Mother Nature being itself." And we went and did something stupid, you know.
Yeah, that is Mother Nature, though. We are insanely curious, and we have this weird desire to test the boundaries of our limitations. To tame Mother Nature, and also to pull off the next new thing, to be able to get power out of this gigantic building that fills up the entire. City.
Yeah.
And it's just some. I mean, literally, they're harnessing the power of the fucking sun inside this facility and containing it somehow or another.
Yeah,
you know. And the real problem is, I mean, they've made some, you know, some safeguards and shit, and make things, you know, a little bit. They can contain situations a little bit better. But clearly, they didn't think of every possible scenario.
No.
They didn't think of a 9.
Right.
They didn't. You know, they didn't think of a 9 that rattled for 5 minutes.
Because when you think of that and you think of a 9, you have to consider if you're putting out a budget for something, how often does a 9 happen?
Exactly.
Not too often.
Exactly.
So we can't appeal. We can't pay for the worst possible scenario. We have to pay for a pretty bad one.
What a colossal fuck up.
Yeah.
It's another reason to get the fuck out of California, because there's all sorts of faults and there's all sorts of fucking reactors. There's one in Orange County. Anything over an 8, we got a big problem.
Yeah.
If it's... Scary shit, man.
But you know what? That's the cost of living somewhere where it's 75 degrees every day.
Yeah, God, but it's not nice. 75 degrees every day in Japan.
No. I don't know what the deal is over there, you know.
Not in that they spot, I don't think.
The coolest shit, that's why.
Yeah, they do have cool
this,
shit.
Yeah, this is another subject that we talked about yesterday on the Corolla show, that this is the exact perfect place geographically as far as, like, climate. You can't get any better. But as far as, like, the worth of human beings, because there's so many of us, you know, people become less valuable, and they become more aggressive toward each other and more shitty to each other.
Yeah.
There's way more cool people because there's so many of us, because of just sheer numbers. I mean, this podcast is absolute proof of that. One of the coolest things about this podcast to me is, like, it reunites me and like makes me realize how many interesting fucking people I know, how many cool friends I have that can come over, and we have these cool conversations, and then this goes out into the internet and the whole world gets it. It's like, there's not that many people that have, you know, Freddie Lockhart's and Sam Tripoli's and all these different characters and Duncan Trussell's and, you know, and Kevin Pereira. There's all these different cool people and Joey and Ari in their life. I mean, there's so many of them, you know, and part of that is because we're living in this giant population center, and it's very showbiz centric, so, you know, everyone's attracted to this spot. It's one of the few things that keeps me here, really.
I like it. I mean, it becomes like a way of life after a while, and you really can't leave it, because when I'm outside of Weirdoville, I find the normal people to be extremely weird, you know what I mean? I find the wants and desires of my friends when I go back to Arizona and I hang out with some of my friends. Some of them are still have their youth, and they still have kids and they have family, but they maintain their youth. Mm-hmm. But most of them just turn into their parents.
Right.
And it's a really weird thing to me that, like, they say
it's depressing.
The apex of their life is over, and now it's just kind of like going through the motions, where I still like to think the best is yet to come.
You have a different career than that.
Yeah,
you have a regular career. You're a guy who sells Buicks. whatever right. the fuck you are.
Yeah, right. But when people add you on Facebook, how crazy different do they look like than you, us? Yeah, you know, like people adding me to Facebook from high school and stuff. I'm like, yeah. holy shit, that looks like my older. Dad's yeah. friends
yeah.
now.
Yeah, well, those poor fucks have to work for a living, yeah. bro. Those poor fucks are out there grinding.
Just visually, yeah. they just look like
stress.
20 or 30 years older.
Dude, yeah. look at Obama. Look at what he looks like now, as opposed to what he is. Yeah, dude, look at Bush. When Bush, got into yeah. office, and then towards the end, look at Clinton. Clinton's mm-hmm. whole head of hair went gray
yeah.
by the time he was out. I mean, that shit ages you. Any like extreme stress ages
yeah,
you.
Yeah, big time.
And your stress level compared to a guy with a real job is ridiculously low.
Yeah.
Mine is ridiculously low.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that. I don't stress about a whole lot to the point where I've gotten, you know, I have time to...
I stress all the time, though. Even if it's not important stress.
I don't. Well, you need to stop doing that because your life is easy as fuck. Even when my life is hard, like the difficult shit about my life is all just requires preparation.
Right.
There's no stress because I actually enjoy doing it.
Sure.
The real stress comes from something that you don't enjoy doing it, but it requires an extreme amount of preparation, an extreme amount of time, and you put all this effort into something you don't even like, and you're just doing it just for money.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're a lawyer and you don't like being a lawyer, you're just doing it because there's a lot of money in it. That will fucking break you.
And I think that's at the end of the day, that's what brought us all here. Is we have that childlike thing in us that says, "I want to do this thing I always wanted to do, and I can see it through."
Yeah, you have to be completely childlike to believe you could actually pull it off. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a kid, I was dating this girl. I was 21. She was a really nice girl. Her name was Jennifer, and she was a sweetheart. And we were both really young and really stupid, and you know, she was just getting out of college, and I was a psychopath. Mm-hmm. And her father did not want her hanging around with me, but she was like, "He's trying to be a comedian.
Oh yeah,
what are the odds that he's going to make it? Like, this kid is not going to. He's going to be a loser." And I remember sitting and thinking about it, going, "Wow, I never even considered that."
Right, right, yeah. I'm just going to do this, man.
Right. I'm just going to do this. Like, I'm going to do it.
But
like, what if you fail? What if you do? Yeah. What if you fail? Maybe I don't know. Right now, I got to just do this.
Yeah,
I got to show in Peabody. Yeah. I got to fucking get some gas in my tank.
Right.
You know? I'm not thinking about not doing it, man. I might fuck up. I might fail. Yeah, I'm terrified of being a loser. Absolutely. But I'm not going to just sit here and dwell on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for it. Most people would not be a comedian.
They want predictability in their lives, and they want their lives to be mapped out for them. And it's like, I live day to day. I literally live day to day. I literally get up and say, "What does today offer? This is going to be great." You know, my girlfriend, she's a sweetheart, but she stresses all the time. Always sure the sky is falling and all that. And I have to tell her, fuck it. Let it go.
Well, we're all built, designed, engineered by the universe and nature and our own personal experiences. We're all different. Mm-hmm. We're just fucking different.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to be a physicist. You're not supposed to be teaching at Harvard. You know, you're not supposed to be working on, you know, molecular science and breaking down the universe. You're not.
Right.
I'm not supposed to be doing it either. I'm supposed to be a comedian. I mean, it's really simple. I mean, this is what my personality gels the best with.
Right.
And, you know, some people's, it's the most terrifying thing in the world to go on. I mean, you know, we got shows this weekend all in Philadelphia, one of the wildest fucking towns. Everything's sold out in advance. We're going to go there. They're going to be fucking crazy. It's me, Joey Diaz, and Ari. We're going to be at Helium in Philly. For some people, that would be unbelievably terrifying.
Yeah.
The idea that you're going to go there, there's going to be this packed show of people anticipating your material, wanting you to make them laugh,
right.
paying to see you talk, and they're going to be drinking.
That's awesome, yeah.
But to a lot of people, that idea is horrifying.
Right.
If you went to, you know, any town hall, when the fuck, what am I even talking about? go to any store and take some guy who's working behind the counter, you know, who's a cashier, and say, okay, you got one day to come up with a bunch of shit to say, and then you're going to go on stage in front of these rabid animals in some comedy club in Philadelphia.
Right.
That'd be the most terrifying thing in the world. But for you, I'm telling you, as I'm telling you, you're getting this big smile on your face.
Yeah, I'm getting excited. Yeah, I'm like, oh man, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, look at you. You're thinking about it.
But that's the thing. It's like, yeah,
supposed to be doing that.
I've been doing this for so long that it's like, that's super exciting to me. And it's like, you know, I'll meet people, like, they'll hang out with you before your show or something. Be like, aren't you nervous? I'm like, what about? About your show tonight, and you're not even thinking it. I won't think about my show till it's time to go to the show.
Yeah,
you know,
people they don't realize that you would get nervous if it was your first time ever on stage and you'd never done it before. But once you do it a bunch of times, it becomes a thing you do. You get excited. I mean, but you make sure you do your preparation, and then you don't get nervous.
Yeah, granted, there's that fight or flight feeling right before I go to stage. Butterflies to let me know I'm a human and I'm alive. But I've harnessed it, and I take that adrenaline and make it happy time instead of, you know, and that's like, I think we talked about it last time, that adrenaline is what prevents you from farting, sneezing, having to puke on stage, all those shut down, peeing, and you just go right into fight or flight where you have to be focused.
I've never had to stop a show because I had to pee.
Never had to pee, never had to poop, never had to,
never.
I'm lactose intolerant. I could be up there drinking milk and I wouldn't have to stop the show. Everything shuts down.
A strange way to make a living, isn't it?
It is, but it's the only way I know in my entire adult life.
And we're all here on this West Coast, hanging on, trying to make it happen. Trying to put that fucking entertainment thing together in the perfect way and make all those fucking pieces fall into place and boom, and leave your mark.
Yeah.
Freddie Lockhart. Follow him on Twitter.
Follow me on Twitter.
F-R-E-D-D-Y. Not I-E like some fucking run-of-the-mill Freddie douchebag.
Yeah.
This is F-R-E-D-D-Y-L-O-C-K-H-A-R-T. That's Freddie Lockhart, bitches. Mm-hmm. Respect the greatest Morgan Freeman and Ice-T impressionist in the world.
Yes.
How about that?
Nice. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I just said that. That's true. That's true. You're 100%. You're the number one. No one can fuck with you. We got to do some gigs together, man.
Let's do some gigs. Joe Rogan says these kind of things.
We're going to do some gigs together.
I'd like to. We got to fish together.
We're going to go fishing too. We're going to make it all happen. Follow Freddie on Twitter. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, 3 o'clock. I don't even know who the fuck our guest is. I have to make some calls.
We got Sal's comedy hole show tomorrow.
Sal's comedy hole tomorrow night at 8 p.m.
Freddie might show up.
And I'm doing a lot of road gigs, so I might not be doing it for a while after that. This week might be my last one because I can't do next week. Freddie's going to show up. And that's it. Fleshlight, if you go to joerogan.net and click the link, and you get 15% off if you enter in the code name Rogan, and you get to... off and save a little money.
Can I plug my next date?
Fuck yeah.
All right. Please come out to Stand Up Scottsdale in Scottsdale, Arizona, April 21st and 22nd. I'll be headlining there. Come out. Stand Up Scottsdale. Go to standupscottsdale.com.
Powerful. And do you have a website to go to?
Yeah, I have a website I can go to, freddielockhart.com, which will take you to my Facebook page. So go to my Facebook page. It's all on that, on my fan page.
Powerful. Powerful, Freddie Lockhart. As of today, there was only a couple tickets left. We added a show Thursday night in Philly at Helium. I don't know if they're gone yet, but if they're not, hop on it. So we're there all weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Everything else is sold out. Joey Diaz and Ari Shaffir. It's a full Death Squad minus Brian, because he's going to be here shooting loads and taking pictures. And so we'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you very much for tuning in. Appreciate it. Love you, bitches. Thanks. Later.